Bus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The United States men's national team beat Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0 in the World Cup round of 32 last night. Team USA will play Belgium in the next round. That game is scheduled for Monday night at 8 o'clock. The Zach Werenski trade drama has been put on pause. Both he and Blue Jackets general manager Don Waddell released statements reaffirming Werenski's commitment to the CBJ. Earlier this week, the team was informed Werenski would be unlikely to sign a long term after his deal was up. On the diamond, the Guardians avoided the sweep when they beat the Rangers at home 9-4. The Guards will start a series in Chicago tonight with first pitch at 6:40. The Reds, on the other hand, lost 4-2 in Milwaukee last night. They'll look to avoid a sweep themselves this afternoon at 2:10. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy it today for cash. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Wagwan! Another episode of T-Bone and Tybus Thirsty Thursday edition. I'm Tybus Powell. We got my man Dylan G behind the glass, keeping us on time and making sure that we got a show next week. And again, joining me, my brother, Joshua Perry. What's going on, JP?
Good morning. Go to hell.
I love that. Love that. Josh, as I was driving in today, I got to thinking about how you and I NFL careers came to an end. When you left because you had too many concussions, correct?
Scrambled them eggs.
When did you start getting concussions?
Well, Tybus, my first documented concussion was in high school. But you know, when you're a little dude playing football, so you know, when you're
a
Pop Warner.
Oh, okay.
You basically got a bobblehead on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that there was some rattling going on way back in the days, but it started in high school and then went from there.
Josh, I never.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
How did you know? Give me that, because I don't. How do you know that you suffered a concussion?
And this is problem. This is the problem for a guy like you, for example. Your equilibrium is already a little bit off. So it would be harder for you to know.
Do not laugh at him.
My North Star is true. So I know when I'm not feeling like myself.
What do you mean? You don't think my North Star is true?
I think you're a little bit more all over the place. You know?
I disagree.
I
think I'm a pretty sane guy. I feel like I'm pretty.
This is not to say that
I'm pretty.
This is not to say that you're an insane person.
That's what you're implying.
I'm not implying that. I'm not saying that when you have a concussion, all of a sudden you're insane. What I'm saying is that my North Star is true. Okay. And I think that you're a little bit more all over the place.
So I wouldn't know if I suffered a concussion.
I think that you would just be like,
okay,
this is what it's supposed to feel like.
Okay, let me ask you this. So when you sustained these concussions, how many did you have?
Like six.
Okay, when you sustained all six of these concussions, you like didn't know like plays anymore, like you didn't know where the line
was. My head was hurting.
That's it?
No, I mean, like, could I line up? Sure. Were there some where I'm like, we'll tough it out? Sure. Were there others where I'm like, I'm hurt? Yes.
See, Josh, I when you say it like that, there's a strong possibility that I did suffer.
I know. And I'm gonna tell you, there's more than a strong possibility. I'm gonna tell you,
no, but it's only really one that I really can recall that like I may have had a concussion, and that was when I was playing in San Fran. We was going up against Dallas, and remember that running back from Alabama? His name was like Bo Scarback or
Scarborough.
Scarborough. Yeah, yeah. I tackled him.
Uh-huh.
When I tackled
him.
He's
a load.
Yeah. When I tackled him, it wasn't the hit on him.
It was when you hit the ground.
I hit the turf.
That's how it happens a lot of times. It's called second impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I got up, Like,
You had to sit there for a second.
I didn't have to sit there.
I've done that where you hit.
See, well, you gave it away. If you sat there, you gave it away.
When you hit somebody, and then you gotta. It's not just laying there, but you got to sit up for a sec and take a deep breath before you get to your feet. You probably had a concussion.
So I got up because DVs, you try to pop back up.
Yeah, all that popping up. Felt a little tipsy, didn't you?
And I walked to my spot. I was playing corner. Uh-huh. So I knew I was on that side.
Sure.
But I didn't know what the play was.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we was huddling first. So we got the play. We broke the huddle. I ran back to my spot.
Like, damn, we in three.
And I got out there.
Man.
I got out there. And I'm like, what did he say the play was? So I asked the linebacker, what's the play?
He's like, shut up.
He told me what the play was.
And then you were like, I'm good?
I said, I got it.
Okay.
I lined up. And then I said, wait a minute. What's the play?
Okay. So we went from, I have never had a concussion.
But I was fine.
To,
Josh, I was fine.
I definitely had a concussion.
I got my bell rang. You know what I did?
That's what a concussion is.
I smelled the salt. I hit the salt.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore.
So outlawed
it. I'm actually immune to the smelling salts.
Of course. They don't do nothing for you.
I can. Nothing.
Are you serious?
I'm immune to it.
Was you doing it that much at O State or something?
No, in the league.
I mean, I did it before the kickoff.
So I had
that was about it though.
I had a teammate who would take a water bottle,
and put
black tape around
it. Put 100 of them in there,
and we would just basically it was like huffing. And I'm literally immune.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nah, it burned the hair in my nose when I smelled it.
You'll be fine.
Nah. Well, you know, the crazy thing is, so when you were done, your last team was Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm. I was there for preseason.
And was that your favorite team to be on?
I wasn't there long enough.
Was Indianapolis your favorite team?
Yes.
You really like Indy.
I liked Indy. My experience with
the
Chargers.
But they weren't doing the...
They were ass.
No, because I went to Indy too.
Yeah.
Indy... They were doing the renovations.
They were.
I hated their facilities. Well, I don't know what it looks like now that the renovations is done. But at the time,
that was
the one time in my life where football felt like a job for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. I was miserable.
So that was the only work you've ever done?
Yes.
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 Good for you.
Was Seattle your favorite spot?
Seattle and San Fran both was fun. Like Seattle.
Didn't the Seahawks release you twice?
I hate you.
He set you up so bad.
He loves to do that job.
Oh, man. Good workout of you. No, plus one.
Anyways, yes. Seattle for me was fun. Like, I literally...
Yeah, they had a vibe there.
Yeah,
that place was a whole vibe.
I wanted to go to
going
the facility.
Going into a team meeting there compared to others... So, other places, you go in the team meeting...
Did they make you shoot?
I didn't shoot.
Oh, I did.
But going into the team meetings there... So, most of the places, you walk into a team meeting, guys are low energy. They're just shuffling in. They got their hoods up, cinched tight like Kenny from South Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't really see the face.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just low energy. And you have a coach who has no motivational skills whatsoever.
Yep.
Up there preaching to you about whatever the word of the day is. You go to Seattle and there's energy. You got a little music playing. There's a basketball hoop there, a little competition.
Oh, yeah.
I talk about good touching here in the office.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in good touching. This comes from Pete. Pete was very much a slap hands kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
You know, dap up your guys. Like, you contact makes groups closer.
Mm-hmm.
That the energy in that building was different than the energy anywhere else I had been.
Yeah. And they used to always say, if you leave here, it ain't like this. And I was always scared to find out. Yep. So when I got cut, I was like, oh, man. But yeah, no place was like Seattle. San Fran was close, though. They didn't have the hoop in there and all that, but it was like. It was a younger crowd. We were all hip, and Kyle Shanahan was a young coach at the time, so he could relate
to
us.
To the jive.
Yeah, so I actually enjoyed my time there. the difference between you and I is yours was you was forced out from injuries. I was forced out because I just wasn't good enough. We didn't walk out on our own terms. Very seldomly do people walk out on their own terms.
I think it's clear you didn't like your other stops because Richard Sherman wasn't there.
This is true.
No.
Sherm.
Yeah.
Listen.
That's the one common denominator between Seattle and San Francisco.
When I talk to him, he always says, I wonder what your life would have been like if you never met me. That's what he says to me. And you know what I tell him? Probably better. I'm pretty confident that my life would be better. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I played safety in college, but when I went to the league, I moved to corner. Problem is, anywhere he was, I was behind him. So I was never going to play because of him. So if I just got away from him and stayed at corner, problem is, when I got away from him, I went back to safety. That's a whole nother story there. But every time he followed me or was with me, that was one corner spot that I knew I couldn't get.
So you went from corner in high school.
I did safety and corner in high school.
Okay.
And then came to Ohio State
as a corner. And then moved
to nickel, then yes. Safety.
Yes.
Went to the league.
Oh, Urban loved. I got a big nickel. Got a big nickel. Number 23.
I don't think, after me, I think I was the last big nickel
yeah.
we had.
Yeah.
Because I followed Orion.
He was basically
Johnson.
A linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Orion.
Yeah, my boy OJ.
Shout out to OJ.
That was my dog, man. Shout out to OJ.
He's a good dude.
He was able to help me get through my freshman year. So shout out to OJ. All right. The Buckeyes got a huge commitment yesterday. We'll tell you who it was next. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, we are seeing some breaking news out in Delaware County after a crash causing portions of State Route 37 to be completely blocked off. Both directions are impacted just passing Wilson Road. That's right near that I-71 area. Slow drive times as well. We also have debris on the roadway affecting that 71 northbound ramp to 36. All lanes also closed out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.org.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s. And then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits. So keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
You know what? That's the perfect join back because yesterday, as I'm sitting there last night, I had a podcast I had to record. When I get done with the podcast, I have a text message from our buddy Fishy. Old Fish. He sends me a picture of a slice of New York pizza. And you know what I said when I saw that?
What'd you say?
Looks just like every other slice of pizza I've ever had in my life.
No, that's just dumb.
That is just dumb. It looks similar. Like, what's the difference? What's the difference between that and like Sbarro? It's a big slice of pizza. That's what I thought when I saw it.
It's so when you put it in your mouth, just that's the difference.
Whoa! Wow. All right, you're not going to do this. It's too early.
So there's an actual thing that people talk about with the bagels and the pizza.
Yes. Oh, that's what, you know what?
Factual.
By the way, T-Bone is joining us next segment, correct?
Yes.
All right, we're going
to. Tabonius.
He's supposed to have had bagels yesterday, and they're supposed to be unbelievable in New York. We're going to talk about that, but go ahead.
You want to know why they say it's unbelievable is because of the water. They say the water there actually affects the bagels and the pizza. It creates the chew.
Is it so they got
that little bit of chew that you get when you bite into it? It's because of the water, allegedly.
I heard the same thing, and I'm a born New Yorker. I lived there until I was 9 years old, and I was told the same legend.
Yep.
that it's about the water.
There ain't no difference between that and Panera. You can go right to Panera and get you a same bagel.
Let's have this conversation. Private equity has ruined everything. Because Panera, when I was a kid, you go in there, you get your little scone, you get your sandwich, and it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You go there now, it's hell.
I have been to Panera since.
Don't.
Really?
Yeah, don't terrible. Go.
Why?
Private equity. Ruins everything.
What do you mean? Like, what changed? The quality of the food?
Yes. What they do is they try to extract every bit of value they can out of any business that they buy. So they cut. And at a certain point, the cutting gets to the actual product that you're consuming.
It's almost like drug related. Go ahead.
Yes. They learn from the cartels. They are a cartel. Yes. And so now you go in there, they got completely different. The danishes look different. The scones look different. And they all taste terrible.
The reason why I don't go to Panera is because I'm not trying to spend $20 be hungry.
Now, that's why I don't go right there. Because the prices of it has been unbelievable. All right, let's get into this story. Do you believe in nepotism?
Yes.
Would you get why are you saying like that?
Because
would you consider, first of all, let me lay the scene. Jet Harrison, the younger brother of Marvin Harrison Jr., committed to Ohio State. 5-star guy. I think he's arguably the number one wide receiver in his class. All of those things. Do you think that
are you saying he's a nepo baby receiver?
Yeah. I'm in the Lucky Sperm Club.
Yeah.
The Lucky Sperm Club is hilarious.
Yeah.
I haven't watched him, just to be honest, there. So I can't speak to his game.
Now, he is the number one. I think some people have him as the number one ranked wide receiver.
They do.
Yeah, but Arch was the number one ranked quarterback, and people were saying that if you make his name Smith, is he the number one quarterback?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go as far as to say he's a nepo receiver. Okay. I'll watch and see and figure out where I think he belongs, but it's a little bit of a stretch for me right now to be like nepo receiver.
Do you think will you find it interesting if he is better than Marvin? Because for the simple fact that they both have two different wide receiver coaches at Ohio State.
Marv, my whole thing with him for all of his greatness was that he is not an elite separator.
You don't think?
Did he ever really run away from people?
He was like the offense.
But I'm saying like a lot of his best plays.
No, he ran some drag routes.
Were contested. Stuff. Circus catches. That was his number one skill.
Okay.
Was his ability to catch in traffic, combat, his body control.
His body control was unbelievable.
All that. But from the standpoint of just routing a guy, which, by the way, he did to old boy from Michigan, routed him bad. So I'm not saying he didn't do it. But that was one thing that I felt like could always take another step, was his ability to just create separation on routes.
Mm-hmm.
If Jet can do that, I think it's a different type of player, period. Now, I'm not saying it's a better player, but it's a different player.
It's interesting that they are able to continuously get these wide receivers, although Brian Hartline is gone. And Brian Hartline has produced tons of NFL first-round picks, you know. And granted, I was looking at a thing earlier today, I wish I had it up, where they were saying, like, Ohio State has gotten 9 out of 10 They got like 9 5-stars in the past 10 years. So like all the top receivers are still committing to Ohio State. Obviously, a lot of that had to do with Brian Hartline. But now that he's gone, you would think that maybe it could dip a little bit. But it didn't.
Here's the thing that I would say, though. When Zach Smith was here, the recruiting wasn't necessarily the same. But
we was running the ball more,
but also were developing NFL wide receivers too. Like some of the guys from the early Brian Hartline days were Zach's recruits that were already.
You're talking about Johnny Dixon, Paris Campbell,
Terry McLaurin, very good players, very going to the NFL, right? Like that was always there. The foundation had always been set. Hartline took that to a completely different level. But I think people still understand that the foundation's there. Ryan Day's offense, the way that it's constructed, is always going to have great quarterback play.
Yeah.
And it's going to feature wide receivers. So I think recruits are still very comfortable, regardless of who their position coach is, they're comfortable in the fact that Ohio State's offense is still going to be very friendly to wide receivers.
I don't know about that, though.
You don't know?
Isn't Arthur Smith's whole thing about running the ball and having these different sets?
Who is the head coach?
you told me yesterday.
I think they're going to run it more.
I told you yesterday.
But that doesn't mean they're only going to run the ball.
Josh.
This helps them.
Josh,
this helps the wide receivers.
Wait a minute.
Because now you as a safety.
You about to make
you
mad.
As a safety.
First of all,
you got to start creeping up toward the line of scrimmage.
First of all, did you watch last year on offense?
I did.
Did you watch when we got down to the red zone? What happened?
Yeah, it was. So where are you going with this?
They was taking receivers off the field for tight ends.
I don't think they'll make the same mistake. I think
Arthur Smith loves tight ends. Arthur Smith is like the greatest player in the world to him.
Which is fine. I think Ryan Day is going to be like, we need to be able to do more of the run the ball in the field thing. When we get down into the short part of the field, I don't want you to take my best players off the field. Whatever that looks like this year. I think he would have to learn from that regardless of who has the play sheet. Do you agree or disagree?
I would hope you only make that mistake once.
All right, then.
I mean,
I think we're pretty much on the same page. I think you can run the ball more and become a better running team while also saying we can take the top off of the defense.
Well,
you as a safety, when teams are running, Mister, what's going on with the run fits over here? When teams are running the ball, your mentality changes a little bit. Now you might get caught flat-footed.
Depends on what my depends on my responsibility.
You just like to argue for the sake of argument.
It depends on my responsibility. First of all, when I was playing safety here, we were taught our first reads is flat feet reads.
Right.
We bounce for three steps.
Well, you're going to be bounce. If they're running it, you go, that little bounce is going
to
be a little.
If I had the middle of the field, if I had the post, like I would just roll to the post. I wouldn't even care if they were running. I would hit the post first, then come back up and try to make a tackle on the run.
And I think if you got Bo Jackson hitting you for 7-8 yards a carry, you might not be so
well. We shouldn't be
liberal.
We shouldn't be calling cover one. We need to be calling a different thing on defense.
Call the cover one because you got the box advantage.
No, because I don't want to be the one rolling to the post. I'd rather be the one that's like flat foot and checking the tight end, and I can just go.
All right. Anyway, regardless.
Last thing, we got a couple minutes. So Ohio State right now is considered wide receiver U. Which position group do you think earns the U next?
Linebacker U.
You think so?
Why not?
Okay.
They've recruited really well. They had two first-rounders this past. I mean, it feels like there's some momentum
but
to
what's
get there.
What's the biggest concern on defense right now?
I think youth generally, inexperience generally.
What position group?
You can say it's the linebackers.
Okay.
But I think if James Laurinaitis is as good of a coach as we both think that he is, and a lot of people are like, this could be the next Heartline.
Yeah, a lot of people think that he's going to go from linebacker coach to potentially a DC to even maybe a head coach.
You never know, but I think he's recruited well. I trust that he can develop. I think one of his best traits as a coach is he is as smart as any coach out there, but knows how to talk to players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just feels like that could be the next thing that really pops off.
I got two positions. I think it could be, obviously, it could be DBU. Caleb Downs started.
Sure.
He was a first-round pick last year, so you got that going. You got Jermaine Matthews. I'm very high on Devin Sanchez this season. But a sneaky horse, running backs.
RBU.
I believe they can possibly do it. With the addition of Arthur Smith, I think Coach Locke does a great job of, it doesn't matter if you're a 3-star, 5-star, 4, it doesn't matter. He gets the best out of his running backs, and they play with passion. And I just think that they've been producing these last couple. I know last year was a little up and down with the run game and all those things. It was a lot of different schemes and stuff. But I do believe from players, just listening to players talk about him and the way he challenges his players, like he wants them guys to be great, and they respond really well to him.
So I think Arby's, the restaurant, should do an NIL deal with the best running backs, the Arby's. You feel me? Thank you.
Don't give him no dingo, Dad. Are you crazy?
Thank you.
First of all, I don't know too many people that eat at Arby's.
You don't like
that.
The curly fry?
It's overrated.
Okay.
It's a little overrated.
Break.
It's overrated.
Break.
I'm just saying. Break. Listen, all right. Yesterday, the World Cup happened. The U.S. beat Bosnia by 2-0. We're going to have our expert on soccer join us next. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, we got some early birds over in New
and CUA.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program via the Bryant Heating and Cooling System fan guest hotline, it is the guy who sits in the one chair regularly on T-Bone and Tyvus, Jonathan Smith, a.k.a. T-Bone. Hey, buddy, how's New York?
It's good. I am staring at a bunch of buildings right now, looking out of my hotel room. I'm on like the 17th floor of a random hotel in Midtown Manhattan. And after I get done talking to you, I'm going to get a bacon, egg, and cheese, a BEC.
Salt, pepper, ketchup?
Yeah, you know it. That's exactly right, JP. And by the way, Arby's fries are overrated. I leave for 2 days. And I got to hear hot takes like that. What are you talking about, Tyvus?
First of all, Jonathan, listen.
Once I popped out of your womb, or you took me to basketball practice as a kid, no one calls me Jonathan. Everybody calls me T-Bone, Tyvus.
Listen,
I'm going to call you Chansey. How about that?
No. You know what? People do it all the time. My wife do it. Sherb do it. You might just get in line. It is what it is. Anyways, no, the thing about Arby's is when you're going out, I just don't feel like people say to themselves, I really want Arby's. Like when you're driving out and you're like, see like a bunch of fast food restaurants, Arby's is never your first choice.
That's because you're making bad choices because they have the meats. I don't know if they told you that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying like, If I see it in my line of sight as I'm driving going, I'm hungry, then that's where I'm pulling into. It's basically like that would be up. I would choose that over McDonald's most days.
You are lying to yourself.
Listen, you are lying. I'm here for the Arby's, so I'm with you. But I wanted to ask this.
I like the running back idea, too. I think the running backs, they're missing out.
I agree. It feels like a great opportunity for some marketing, but I'll talk to the people over there and see what they have to say about that. I want to ask you this because we're dealing with the heat. You guys are dealing with it in New York as well. I saw the tweet that said to set your AC to 78 degrees. So before you went to bed last night, did you set the AC to 78?
I plan on abiding by that as I will set it when I leave to 78. As I walk out of the hotel this morning to head to LaGuardia, I will put it at 78 to be in compliance. But yeah, I saw that too, and I saw people freaking out about it. And then I thought, I mean, it's so hot here. I mean, it's hot. I know it's hot back home too. I'm just saying, like, walking into 78 degrees probably still feels great. Like, I'm not doing it, but I'm saying, like, compared to what it's been out here, it is like someone breathing heavily on you, like on your shoulders the entire time.
I did 78 last night when we walked in from the movie theaters, and my daughter was like, "It's cold. It's cold in here." That's what she said when we walked in.
That's what it's supposed to be. That's like what they were saying to do is like if you're not going to be home, set it to 78, and then when you come back, have it like if you have a timer or something. But yeah, whatever. I got it cruising at 74 right now, and we're good. We feel great.
All of y'all are crazy. My house stayed at 70 or probably maybe even 68, 69.
We were 67
y'all
yesterday.
Are crazy for having y'all heat up that high. Anyways, how is the bagel? You know, that was a lot of talk from leaving here, you and Fish, on this whole little food thing. How was the bagel? Is it as good as Panera Bread? Could you tell the difference?
You are like,
be honest.
I used to say you should go to New York City more often. You shouldn't. So this is going to be wasted on you. It's like taking a 5-year-old and they'll be like, it all tastes okay. Bagel time. Yay. Like it's, yes, it's bad. The bagels here are very, very good. I'm sure there's good places to get bagels. I know Bear Bagels is one that I think people talk about in Columbus. But, yeah, I mean, the bagels here are very good. I mean, I had one yesterday. I'm going to have one today. I might get one at the airport just in case. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had a slice of pizza last night. I'm doing all the touristy things while I'm here.
All right, so run us down, then, all of the places that you have eaten and give us your favorite thing so far.
Well, I went to Cat's Deli, which is the famous, you know, place you can get a pastrami on rye or Reuben. And it was, I mean, you stand in line, they had this whole system. They give you a ticket. They ask if you want the meat juicy or not, which means if you want a fattier cut or not.
Juicy.
So we did that as soon as we got off the plane. Then we had, what else do we, I'm trying to think what else we've eaten.
It's all forgettable, T-Bone. It's all forgettable because it tastes the same. It doesn't stand out to you.
We went to a sushi place, and it was fine. I have learned, I am like you, Tyvus, when it comes to every food. When it comes to sushi, I can't tell much of a difference. It's all like cold fish to me. So I have not refined my palate enough on the sushi.
You got to go to Nobu.
It was good.
You definitely got to go to Nobu.
Right.
Yeah, but also Kroger sushi still slaps, so I get his point.
It ain't Nobu.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I would be able to tell a big enough difference. That's my problem. But, yeah. And then what else? And then we just ate, like, street food the rest of the time. Just been walking around, picking up stuff. Like,
you get a dog?
Homeless guy gave me a half-eaten cheeseburger the other day. I was like, this is great. This is authentic New York right here. It was great.
Did you steal a trash can?
Did you see the people climb the Empire State Building?
No, but did I send it to you? I posted it on Twitter. Did I send you the disrespect that I saw? That we were walking around Madison Square Garden, and there was just a random garage door that someone had spray painted, and it had Jalen Brunson sitting on a throne, and it said King of the East, and then it had, I'm trying to think who the other two players were, but it had three players kneeling in front of
him. Oh, yeah, I did see that. You did you sent that to us. I did see that. That's
one of them was James Harden in a Cavs uniform. So I thought, okay, this is fresh. This is recent. So,
all right, T-Bone. Yesterday, U.S. took on Bosnia. They won 2-0. What happened? What's the highlights? What can you tell us? What does this even mean for anybody?
Okay. Well, first off, like, winning three World Cup games, like, in one World Cup for the U.S. has never happened. So that's a big deal.
Okay.
That's good. In this game, you had Florin Balogun score the first goal. He had scored another goal. They called him offside. He was offside. He had a couple times where he got fouled, and they didn't call it. This referee was a joke. More on that in a second. But he scores that first goal before halftime. It felt pretty good. Come out in the second half, and there's a play where Florin Balogun is running for a ball. He's running with another guy, and Florin Balogun, our player, steps on the Bosnian player. And it's a pretty, I mean, steps on his ankle. It looks pretty bad, but it was incidental contact. You know, it's just like two guys getting tripped up, you know, going out for a pass or something. It's just play on. Except the referee, they went to review it, and they said, oh, that was too harsh of a foul. So they gave Florin Balogun a red card, threw him out of the game. And then, so the guy who scored for us, who scored a bunch of goals for us in this tournament, is now not only out for this game, out for the next game.
Mm.
So, and the referee's decision was, I thought, ridiculous. It was very bad. I've seen, people are cutting up videos of, like, Lionel Messi did this against Algeria, no call. Like, multiple good players have done this in this tournament. It's an accidental play. I've never seen this called in a World Cup game, especially, but really not in soccer that I can recall. So a terrible call from this referee, in my opinion. But then the U.S. So I thought, we're up 1-0. We're winning 1-0, but we now don't have as many players. We're down 10 to 10 men instead of 11. How are they going to withstand this for the next, like, 30 minutes? And they did. They closed out the game. They were very professional about it. They got a second goal. Malik Tillman scored that one for the U.S. Great. And he got his foot stepped on and had to change his shoe. And after the game, he was standing there doing an interview with his shoes off. You can see his sock is all bloody. So, like, it was a rough game for the U.S. physically. But they held their own. Bosnia was very tough to break down, but they eventually did. And yeah, it was a very good performance for the U.S.
I want you to know that before we let you go, I want you to know that you are responsible for Boone Jenner not being with the Blue Jackets anymore. You started the whole take the C thing away, and it
ripped the patch off.
It was just a lot of noise, and all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. And it's all your fault.
Yeah, and I saw Zach Werenski decided to stick around. Is that right? He's here.
That's what they said. That's what they said.
Turned on him, and I just remember, and I said, no, don't turn on him. Turn on the stupid organization. And then it turned out he realized he wants to be here, and that all got overblown. I'm telling you right now, when they go to the playoffs next year, they make a run, you're going to be like, damn, T-Bone was right. Got to take that C off Boone Jenner. Just like he was right with Ryan Day, motivated that guy to get him going to where he could go finally win that national championship. So, yeah, you'll be thanking me come, I don't know, March, April next year. It's fine. I'll take my flowers then.
All right, T-Bone, I got to go do TV. But thank you for joining the program.
He's got to go do the thing he enjoys the most.
I look forward to seeing you on Monday where I get to go back to being in the two chair. I hate you for making me try to grow as a broadcaster. But I hope you have a safe flight, and we miss you, buddy.
Thank you. Miss you, too. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. You guys sound great, though. I'm enjoying listening to it.
Thank you. All right. When we come back, a college basketball coach revealed under oath how much his roster costs. We'll tell you who and how much next. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still looking at some breaking news in Delaware County after a car crashed into a power line just outside of Sunbury. That means a portion of State Route 37 is closed in both directions past Wilson Road and right near 71. We also have debris on the roadway being reported close by, affecting that 71 northbound ramp to 36. All lanes are closed. AEP Ohio says they are working on the situation right now and said just use that workaround in the meantime. Just take State Route 3 to get you back towards 36. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your.com.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, so one of the big things that happened in college basketball yesterday or last year was always about how much money each roster cost, right? You got the Wolverines saying that they spent around, I think he said, Dusty said, what, 10? Around 10 million or something like that was his roster?
Yep.
Well, yesterday, Rick Pitino revealed under oath that Xavier will have $14 million in roster compensation this season. So the money is only going up. They were last year at $5.5 million. So they tripled their money. It must be a lot of Xavier boosters that want to see the program up. How you feel about this, Josh?
Well, I wish some of it was in my pocket.
Yeah, I know that.
Start right there. Probably spend it a little bit better than old Richard Pitino there. But it's the world that we're in, and there are multiple factors of this. Like, I think the biggest thing, and if you talk to coaches or ADs or anybody who's in this, they would tell you that the free agency aspect of this is why the money's going up and why it's so crazy. Because every year, guys can just hop in the portal, or they can say, like, I won't get in the portal if you give me more money. So I'm going in there, I'm getting more money, or I can stay here and you can just give it to me.
Joshua, as a former player, go back to old JEP. RIP JEP. We need that guy.
Mr. Joshua Perry now.
No. I will RIP JEP. That's the guy I want to talk to. If you were at Ohio State and NIL was a thing, would you have gotten the portal every year just to test the waters?
I don't think I would have. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't tell you exactly what I would have done, but Ohio State was, and I guess it's like the old school mentality. I wanted to be there. It was close to home, where I felt like I was going to develop the best. This is a place I wanted to call home in my future. Like, I didn't necessarily desire to be anywhere else. Now, if you're sitting there and let's say your value as a linebacker is like starting linebacker and power four is $700,000, mm-hmm, and they're like, we'll give you $400,000, I might have to threaten.
You mean to tell me?
$300,000 swing is like, you got to threaten at that point.
You mean to tell me all the times you and Fick got into it, you wouldn't have thought about, you know what? I'm getting out of here.
Oh, I thought about it already.
Let's be perfectly clear. The way me and Coach Ash clash, I would have threatened him every day. Listen, you keep messing with me, I'm going to get in the pool.
You see that door right there? I'll walk right out.
Then I would have seen Malik get them interceptions, and I would have been like, you know what? Never mind.
Do you think you would have been a guy who would have tested free agency?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Because
you're all in.
One, yeah. I mean, one, for me, I think that they would have done a good job of taking care of me, right?
You like, think?
I think so.
But I feel like this is the because thing I've learned in the world.
I wasn't high maintenance, though. It's not like, okay.
Those are the ones that they don't take care of.
No, I don't think that's the case.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Josh.
No, I'm telling you this.
If my position, on average, paid $1 million.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they would come to me and be like, yeah, we're going to give you $200,000.
No, but they'd probably come and be like, we'll give you $800,000. And then what are you going to do about that?
That's fine.
Oh, see.
That's fine.
That's a little 20%.
I mean, because you got to think about it. $800,000, but I'm also playing at Ohio State, where I'm going to be on TV, where if I do well, it's probably
going to parlay. LSU's going to give you 1.2.
Well, then I'm going to have a conversation.
Exactly. I guess that's what I'm getting at is, like, I think the idea that both you and I probably would not have been high maintenance when it comes to this. Like, those are the guys that I feel like end up getting the short end of the stick. Cause the guys who are constantly bitching about money and their agents calling, like, it's tiring, and the coach is like, oh, I don't know if I want to deal with it. And then we all see that these guys end up getting the money that they were.
I don't think so.
Well,
did you see the transfer portal this past year?
I'm not saying like they every player that gets like, in.
Ohio State said arrivederci. We ain't paying you.
Those guys got their money somewhere else though. But I'm saying guys who played got money. There was that whole, remember the whole Bo Jackson thing?
I'm trying to think of who played that left. Did anybody play?
That's what I'm getting at. The bad players are gone. I'm not saying that they're bad players, but the guys who didn't provide the value and ask for more money, they were gone. The guys who were like, I need a little bit of a raise, the Bo Jackson thing got a little bit weird, didn't it?
I thought for a second he was gone.
And then they found money. And I guess that's what I'm getting at is like, you and I coming in there and we're low maintenance guys. This happens in the business world too. That's why you need an advocate. That's why when it comes down to contract time, you got to go in there and you got to start swinging a little bit. And then they're still going to try to shortchange you.
Give me the pen.
I went through this
give me the pen.
At my other job.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you do everything right, you be as low maintenance as you want to be. And I was sitting there thinking for a sec, like, damn, what if I was one of those guys who was a diva? Maybe they would have put a little bit more money in my check. And that's the squeaky wheel.
You know, the one thing
gets the grease.
A lot of people in this broadcasting field get that I refuse to ask for, but I do want it, is that they refuse to fly anything but first class. That's the one thing. I'm not sitting in coach or anything.
I haven't sat in coach in years.
Must be nice.
They have you flying in coach to go to like Seattle and Eugene?
Yeah. I'm never doing that.
Oh, man.
I promise you.
I never put it in my contract. Listen, man.
You should ask for it.
I'm happy enough to just get the ticket.
You should ask for it.
Your agent, Richard Sherman.
These guys, all these big companies use travel agencies anyway, and they do so much business that they're not paying what you see when you open up the app. I would ask for it, personally.
It's too late. I already signed it.
What? You're a big man to be sitting back there.
I sent it to you before I signed it.
You're a big man to be sitting back there. Hey. With your knees in the back of somebody else's seat. They barely want to give you a half a lemonade.
I'm an exit row type
and
of
have
guy.
You seen the shrinkflation on the pretzels that they give you back there?
I don't eat that stuff.
That is insane. You know, I get on there, you get whatever you want.
Josh,
what kind of snacks do you like?
I don't eat
You know those
stuff.
Little Biscoff cookies? They came out with the Biscoff cookies that you get on the plane. They're delicious.
Them is good.
They have one now that has, it's like an Oreo. It has a cream filling in the middle. I get like eight of those. I have one in my backpack right now in case of emergency.
Josh.
They don't tell you not to take more when you're sitting up there. You should do it.
it's too late.
Next year.
I'm about to say, next year we can have this conversation.
That's the first thing you need to say.
It's already
the
done.
First thing you need to say, at least, is on the long flights. If I'm flying to the West Coast, I'm not sitting in the back.
It's not that big of a deal.
It is. It is.
It's really not.
You're not paying for it. It's a big deal at that point.
Josh.
if we were talking about coming out of your own pocket for it.
Didn't we just talk about
it? It's a different conversation.
Did we not just talk about being low maintenance?
This is not a high maintenance thing to ask for.
Yes, it is.
No. I promise you. I've seen some high maintenance things that people ask for. This is not high maintenance.
They got Tarico and a PJ.
I wore all green M&Ms. I wore a bowl of all green M&Ms.
That's the kind of stuff that you don't ask for. But I think you can tell them, I'm not sitting in the back of the plane when I got to sit there for 4.5 hours.
I'm not, first of all, on those flights, I'm not sitting in the back of the plane. I'm going to the exit row.
The exit row does nothing about the hip and the shoulder space.
What's that? I don't have that issue.
Yes, you do. Have you seen yourself lately? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. 250, 260, you got that problem.
Gosh. I'm fine. I'm not asking for that right now.
Somebody tell Tyvus that it's okay. It's a negotiation. That's the whole thing, is you're negotiating. So you ask for something. There's a give and a take.
They're going to tell me to go fly a kite.
No, they won't.
They're going to say, go outside and touch grass.
I know that company. I don't think they want to do that.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, the list. Make sure you get in the YouTube chat as well. Best players under the Urban Meyer era at Ohio State. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, good morning to our West Siders this morning. Your roads are looking nice and clear, 70 in both directions, as well as 40 if you're taking Broad Street to especially head downtown. For our friends in our northwest corner in Plain City, only a 4-minute commute on 33 between 42 to 161. And if you're heading southbound right now to 70 South, to be exact, between East Broad Street to 70, it will only take you 1 minute. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Today. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The United States men's national team beat Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0 in the World Cup round of 32 last night. Team USA will play Belgium in the next round. That game is scheduled for Monday night at 8 o'clock. The Zach Werenski trade drama has been put on pause. Both he and Blue Jackets general manager Don Waddell released statements reaffirming Werenski's commitment to the CBJ. Earlier this week, the team was informed Werenski would be unlikely to sign long-term after his current deal was up. On the diamond, the Guardians avoided the sweep when they beat the Rangers at home 9-4 yesterday. The Guards will start a series with Chicago tonight, first pitch at 6:40. And the Reds lost 4-2 in Milwaukee last night. They'll look to avoid a sweep themselves this afternoon at 2:10. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property. Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy today for cash. 614-470-2000.
Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Second hour of the program. All right, the list today. Best players under the Urban Meyer era at Ohio State. This is going to be good. Continue to get in the YouTube chat. Oh, I'm seeing some names in that YouTube chat. Some people that I kind of forgot. Hold on. I got to write it down because I forgot that name right there. I'd be disrespectful if I didn't say that name.
Before we get into it, when we were discussing doing this, Tyvus asked multiple times, are we doing just at Ohio State, which makes me think he wanted to praise Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin definitely would have been. Actually, he wouldn't have been my number one, though. It actually would have been Cam Newton.
Mm. Does that really count, though?
Yeah. Does Joe Burrow count?
I wouldn't count him. I just wouldn't count him.
Did Cam Newton take a snap at Florida?
I don't think he did.
Then it don't count. Percy Harvin is there. All right, Josh, you want to start it off?
Yeah.
We ain't got a list five. Just
I don't know where I want to go. Like, if
the layup is Joey.
The layup is Joey. Let me go with the non-layup, though.
Okay.
I feel like the JT Barrett impact was elite.
I just watched a video on Instagram yesterday, and they was like showing how JT was this unbelievable leader and all of this stuff. And then I looked at the comment section, and he was like, people in the comments is like, they love JT for who he was and all the things he did, but they were convinced that if he was the quarterback during that run, we wouldn't have beat Alabama and stuff like that. They said that his arm had limitations.
World will never know.
And I just think that's crazy. Because like we was rolling with JT. Like, so I don't.
He was.
And then on top of that, even the next year when him and Cardale, you know, Cardale beat him out for the starting job. When they would go to JT, that offense was a little bit better.
He had that it factor. This is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, he's a gritty player. A gritty quarterback also is something I really respect. And I feel like we see it at the NFL level. The guys who typically have the most success, like they just have a little bit of extra grit compared to other quarterbacks. So I love that about him.
Baker Mayfield got a lot of grit.
He's got some grit. That's how he's
Dylan's boy.
But he turned things around. All right. I'm going to fly by that one. But it was the grit. It was the leadership. He could get you. Look, if you needed 2 yards, he was going to get you 3 or 4. And I appreciate that a ton.
Jim Harbaugh wants to disagree with you.
Well,
yeah,
whatever. You sit up there whining press conferences all you want to. The one thing that I used to love, you and I'd be sitting there, punt team ready. Yeah, get your helmet on. You stand on the sidelines. And then they call, you know, cue power or whatever. And, you know, it's a first down. You go sit your ass back down on the bench. That was phenomenal. Like, that's the kind
first
of stuff
all,
for me
first
that
of all,
I love.
I hated the fact that we would get a stop and literally 2 plays would go by and they say,
punt.
Do you know how annoying that is? I just sat down. Because, you know, when you come off the sideline, the coach got to do the adjustments.
The sweat off of my brow.
I just sat down. Punt two. It was a sign of relief when they got the first down. I will say that.
You said the layup is Joey Bosa. Is the layup on the other side of the ball Zeke?
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
That postseason stretch for Zeke is, I don't think in the history of the sport, it's talked about enough what he did.
Zeke had like 200 yards every game.
He did.
That's ridiculous.
Boy, one of the games he had like 15 yards a carry.
I went back and looked at the national championship game. And I was just like, yeah, this dude was different.
He is.
Because what people fail to realize, and I love to point this out, that you know the offense turned the ball over 4 times in that game?
Yeah.
It didn't matter. If you turn the ball over 4 times in a game, you lose that game 98% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It did not matter at all. So, yeah, Zeke absolutely is the layup on offense. Another guy on offense who I feel like don't get enough praise. It was actually Devin Smith, the best gunner in America.
Okay.
Why did he do that?
Why did he do that? This is Urban.
This was a fourth down. It was late in the game. It didn't matter.
Why did he do that?
They didn't touch his jersey. Why did he do that?
Oh,
I
man.
I wish y'all could have been in that meet. It was like all the time. Why did he do that? And I still want to know to this
what
answer, why did Devin do that?
What a guy. He was he was phenomenal, though. His ability to get behind coverage.
He's the best deep ball
receiver. It was ridiculous.
I've ever really been around. I mean, I didn't realize until somebody like brought it up. Like, you know, he never caught a pass, like an inward breaking pass. All his catches was go balls, hey, essentially.
You got to play to your strength.
That's ridiculous. Like, you should, as a corner, you should know that. Like,
yeah, but then you got to stop it.
I'm bailing on the snap, and I'm not stopping running because he's dying. If he runs something short, who cares?
You know, he's a legit track guy.
Like, yeah, I know. I think he tried to run here at Ohio State.
He did, and they were like, you can't miss a workout
at
the Woody.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I don't know if I could do 2.
Yeah. Another guy. Ryan Shazier.
Yes.
That's a name that I almost forgot until I seen somebody in the chat. Shout out to Connor in the chat.
I low-key hated Ryan.
I sure forgot about it.
I low-key hated him.
You hated Ryan?
Yes.
Why?
Because he would do stuff And then we'd be in the meeting room and they'd be like, oh yeah, this is how you should do it. I'm not him. This dude runs a 4.37 at linebacker. And he had some pop to him too. He would really hit people. I'm not that guy. So you can't tell me, oh, you should try to, I'm not trying that.
Do you feel like you are out of place?
What do you mean by that?
Like when you play.
What do you mean by that?
When you was at Ohio State, do you feel like you should have been more of an outside stand-up edge rusher?
That wasn't our system, though.
Josh, when Joey Bosa got suspended in the Virginia Tech game, we put the package in.
Right, but that, I mean.
Did we run that in the game? Do you remember?
Yeah.
We did run that?
I think for like a snap or two, it wasn't anything significant.
But do you think if we would have done that?
So
technically, you know who messed up the whole system? Noah Spence.
Yeah, buddy.
He messed up everything because if he never got kicked out, him and Joey, they probably would have had to do something where, because he's not a put your hand in the dirt. He was more of a stand up guy.
No, it's that was the thing, though, because we were running a 4.3. So it would have been some hand in the dirt. And I don't think I was there yet. My biggest regret as a football player is not being an edge.
You think you should have been an edge?
The game had passed me by. There were when
you
I was
wanted to play. You wanted to put your hand in the dirt
when we were coming into the league in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
How many 6'4", 255-pound linebackers were there?
It was
KJ.
No, they were still
no. They weren't.
We were on the verge.
No, they weren't.
They were at that point. We were on the verge of going back to the smaller, athletic linebacker.
Ryan Shazier went a year or two or whatever it was before.
He went 2013.
Okay. And then Darren Lee was the first round linebacker.
Yes.
As a smaller dude.
Yep.
And then it kept going into that like 6'2", 225 linebacker, not 6'4", 250. So the game had passed me by. I should have had my hand in the dirt, period.
I feel like I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. I would have to go back and look at like those draft classes. I mean, obviously, you would know better than me because you played the position. But I just feel like that transition didn't truly happen until like a couple
Brother,
of years later.
I'm telling you that it happened. Okay? Like, this is really not up for debate.
Okay. Anyways, to finish my list, some other names. Chase Young, Braxton Miller, Malik Hooker, Marshawn Lattimore, Denzel Ward. Jeff Okuda in college was like one of the best corners. So it was, Urban had some good years. I didn't put you, Josh. I'm sorry.
I made the argument yesterday when we were preparing for the segment for Tyvus to be in there.
No.
There is only one defensive MVP of a national championship game in the Urban era.
No, no.
So I think Tyvus deserves to be thrown into the mix here.
No. I always had that call for the rest of my life. All right, we got to take a break. A couple climbed the Empire State Building. We will contribute to their 15 minutes of fame next. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good Thursday morning to you. If you live in Delaware County, I do want to give you a heads up right now. We are seeing a crash involving a car and a downed power line out by State Route 37 just outside of Sunbury. So both directions are closed just passing Wilson Road and right near that 71 area. We also have two ramps closed nearby, that 71 northbound ramp to 36, as well as that 71 southbound ramp to 36. Take State Route 3 as your alternate route. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Join our degenerate gamblers, Dave Biddle at Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s. And then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits. So keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome. And that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tybus.
Give me a number, Josh.
3 + 7, 37. Let's go 10.
You can count. Good for you. Caller number 10 will win 2 weekend passes to Sonic Temple's Art and Music Festival. We don't know who's playing. We don't know who's headlining. We know that it's May 13th through the 16th. And Sonic Temples want fans, listeners to have the first crack at the 2027 tickets. For more information, check out SonicTempleFestival.com. 614-821-9710. Caller number 10 will get those 2 weekend passes. All right. Yesterday, I'm doing a podcast, and in the podcast chat, somebody brings up the fact that some couple decided to climb the Empire State Building. And I'm looking at it like, what are you talking about, right? This building is 1,454 meters, or feet, I should say, above the sidewalks in Midtown Manhattan. Angela and, I don't even know, Vanya?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Decided to just, first of all, who just, Josh, let's just go climb a building. Like, who thinks of something like this?
Not us.
Clearly not, because I wouldn't make it. I could barely climb a tree, so there's no way that I'd do this.
But you don't think you could climb a tree?
It's been so long, Josh. I feel like I think I still could.
Got to be a sturdy tree.
I feel like it's like riding a bike. Like once you learn how to climb a tree,
I wouldn't go that far.
Once you learn how to climb a tree, you should be able to climb a tree. But like I've never took it past that. Like, I actually like those people that know how to climb buildings. And
you ever do a rock wall when you were a kid? Rock climbing?
I don't think so. I know there was one at Ohio State that I always wanted to go try.
I was scared when I was a kid.
Why?
I didn't want to.
You're on a bungee cord.
I didn't want to go up the height.
You one of those guys. You got a fear of heights?
I used to. I got over it.
So you think you could climb the building? Have you had the ability to climb?
No. I would pass out. I would look down once and pass out. When we moved to Chicago, we were looking at these apartments in high-rise buildings. And one of the apartments that my wife really wanted to move into was on like the 40-something floor.
Okay.
And so we went.
First of all, I visited you in Chicago. Y'all still were up high.
Yeah, but it wasn't as high. So we went. It was cool. And then we went again, and the woman doing the tour was like, oh, you know, there's a balcony. Go on the balcony. I looked at that thing. I shook my head, and I said, no, I'm good. And
you didn't even go out there.
No. And then I told Maddie, I'm like, we can't move into this thing. So I had to work my way up to the heights. So we were on like the 26th and then the 29th. And then the last one we lived in was on the 38th floor. So I finally got over my fears.
Josh, you're too old to be doing that.
Which is crazy because I get in planes and I have no issue.
That's what I'm saying.
No issue. But it's the idea of like that. The plane, I'm locked in, I'm secure. But like when you stand up against that window and you look down and you feel like at any moment that window could fall out, it's a different feeling for me.
Okay, who leans up on the window?
So you can see everything. You want to see down to the street, see the people on the sidewalk right along your building walking around.
I'll get real close. I ain't touching the window.
You got to go right up to it.
So
that's how I conquered my fear.
I guess Josh, you're too old to be doing that. I'm going to just tell you that now.
My perception of heights like that is totally thrown off because when I was a kid, my mom worked in the World Trade Center and she worked on the 88th floor. And I used to go to work with her all the time and be up there looking out the window. People here, you go up 15 stories and they're scared.
I think the highest I've ever been outside of a plane is I went to the Space Needle in Seattle. And when you get up into the Space Needle, like it's like you can walk outside on the deck and it's the little circular thing. I was fine.
Is that higher than Sears Tower?
I have no idea.
I just went there last week.
No idea. And somebody brought it up in the chat. Connor said, is it the fear of heights or the fear of falling? And I guess it's more the falling aspect.
Oh, Josh.
If you could fly, you're not going to be scared of heights.
You know, like I've done roller coasters and I'm I've been fine on those, but I won't.
You know, so, I was scared of roller coasters until I met Lauren.
You know, the wild part about it, though, you ever see like the dragster all the time? It just like gets stuck.
Yeah.
I refuse because I won't be up there. That's where I start to feel like I'm going to drop. I won't get stuck. I'm not doing that.
Here's the thing. If you like roller coasters, you have to be scared of roller coasters. That's just the science behind it.
No.
Like the feeling you get, that thrill comes from fear. So someone says, like, I just like riding roller coasters, but I don't get scared. That means it don't do anything for you. That's a lie.
You go fast. You might just like going fast.
You know what? Like I said, I didn't get on a roller coaster until I met Lauren. And the reason that I really never was going to get on one, but, you know, we went to Cedar Point
one day. Is she a thrill seeker?
She likes roller coasters, yes.
Okay.
So she was like, she never asked me, you know, did I get on rides or anything like that? It never came up. She just, I guess she assumed that I always got on roller coaster rides. So when we got to Cedar Point, I forget what ride it was. It was like the toy course one. I don't know what it's called. I can't think of it. Gatekeeper.
Okay.
Yeah, Gatekeeper, I think is the name of it. That was the one she's like, this is going to be our warm-up ride.
Warm-up.
It's our warm-up. I'm like, okay. I've never been on it because I don't ride rides. And my biggest fear was the ones that went upside down. Those are the ones that I was scared of the most because I was like, I'm going to lose the change or my phone going to fall out of my pocket.
I'm going to lose
something like that.
You'll be fine.
That was my thing. And I did it without ever saying nothing. I just did it because I'm at the gate. Now I didn't pay for the tickets. This way I'm going there. And I realized it's nothing. I mean, all this life, it took me like 22 years to finally get over this fear. And it was just like, it was nothing.
The roller coasters are great.
Heights is, the height thing
so
is.
I guess the people are bringing me to the bigger picture here. I don't think I could do that, what they did, climbing the building.
No, they're insane.
Because of this whole idea of like...
Hold on, I'm trying to read the banner. When the power of love beats the love of power, the world knows peace. Is that what that says?
That's exactly what it says. But this, for example, have you ever been in a tall building when it's super windy out?
It shakes.
Yeah, they move a little bit, which is a good thing.
Okay.
That feeling right there, I'm done.
First of all, I ain't in tall buildings like that. That's one. Two, I can understand that, but I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Good for you.
It just doesn't bother me.
I don't have the stomach for it.
If this is how we going out.
Whoa. So you're at peace with moving to the other realm.
Yeah, I think you should be. You can't just be fear. You can't have a fear of it all the
time. I'm not saying you have a fear of it, but like, I don't know if I was laying on my deathbed right now, I don't know if I'd be at peace. I feel like there's so much more.
Well, we're different because we have young kids. So it's like you're going to miss a lot of their.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I'm not at peace with that.
Have you accomplished the things that you wanted to accomplish in life?
There's another level.
Oh, well, I'm complacent. I just want my two chair.
You're
back.
Good. You're good.
Monday, my life will be great again.
I don't know why you're so scared of this one chair. You've been doing a hell of a job.
It's just a different vibe. It's a different vibe, man. Like I can't even be in the YouTube chat like I want to. You know, you got to be locked in. You got to look at the clock and pay attention to the clock. All these things. It's just it's a lot there. Fact of the matter is, back to this story. Did they get arrested for this?
I have no idea.
Dylan's on the phone, so he can't confirm. I think these people got arrested for this. And if they did,
there was a proposal in here.
I wouldn't even give them that much time.
Did you know that?
No.
There was a proposal.
What's the proposal?
It said that dude got down on the knee and proposed.
He climbed the thing?
Yep.
And when he was up there, he
got down on one knee before the couple embraced and kissed. So it appeared to be a proposal.
You know, Josh.
How did you propose to Lauren?
How did I propose to Lauren?
Yeah.
So this is funny. I got 2 minutes. So this is funny. All up until leading up to the proposal, I had this tweet that I put out back when I was in college. and I always live by, and I always try to stand on the things that I say. If I say it, then I got to stand on what I say.
And so you said you were never getting on knee.
I said, I ain't even taking knee in the Sugar Bowl. What do I look like taking a knee?
God,
for you.
That is crazy.
That was a tweet that I put out. This was back when this is the old Tyvus.
Back when you were banging.
Yeah, it's the old Tyvus. My mindset has shifted. I'm not even that guy anymore. But leading up to the proposal.
That is crazy.
That was on my mind for like a good 48 hours. And I was like, do I stand on what I said and don't necessarily get down on a knee? Maybe just
were you wearing Jordans?
I was.
You didn't want to crease them.
That didn't matter. It was that, do I put the knee on the ground? Because it was snowing outside. And do I put my knee in the snow?
Yes.
Or do I just hover the ground?
Did you hover?
No, I put my knee on the ground. I went against my word.
Good for you.
I went against my word.
You made the right decision.
Lord knows that I love her because I went against my word.
You made the right decision.
I stand on everything that I say. All right. In 2 minutes, Dylan Tyre will break down everything that went down with the Blue Jackets yesterday. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, traffic not looking too bad around the metro. I actually think a lot of people took off for the early holiday weekend out here. Maybe seeing some slowdowns, 71 in that northbound direction as you're heading downtown towards Greenlawn Avenue. Just slightly, though, really not too bad on this Thursday. At least some better news if you're heading out towards the airport, just in case. Once again, for the big holiday weekend, 270 southbound and 670 westbound running pretty smoothly as of right now. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Tom. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world. T-Bone has eaten some of the biggest pizzas in the world. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program via Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, our guy, Dylan Tyre of the Blue Jackets. Dylan, what is going on, man? This is it's so much going on with the Zach stuff. You got a new assistant coach. You got all these moves being made. What has been the most shocking thing that's happened for you in the past 24 hours with the Jackets?
Well, thanks for having me on, Tyvus. I appreciate it. And we certainly do have a lot to talk about, right? Because there's been a lot of different things happening over the course of the last week or so. And I think obviously the biggest story right now is what's going on with Zach Werenski. It sounded like he was going to be traded away from the Columbus Blue Jackets, but yesterday Zach and Don Waddell, the Blue Jackets general manager and president of hockey operations, came out kind of with a joint statement saying that Zach is going to stay going forward with the Blue Jackets and that he's committed to winning here in Columbus. You know, I think this was just something crazy that a couple of weeks ago it came out that Zach Werenski wasn't sure about his future in Columbus. And I think if you take that at face value, you know, you can understand it, right? The Blue Jackets have missed out on the playoffs the last couple of seasons. He wants to be a winner, and they are trending in that direction. There it kind of continued to snowball, and the rumor built, oh, he wants out right now. Oh, they're listening to trade requests. And while there may have been trade requests, and the rumor is out there that Zach Werenski denied a trade to go to the Dallas Stars, I think Zach's intent was always to be a Blue Jacket in case something, or unless something crazy came up, an offer that, you know, made sense for the Blue Jackets and it made sense for Zach Werenski. And, you know, I think he said as much yesterday, saying that he wants to be a Blue Jacket going forward. He wants to try and win in Columbus, and we'll see if the Blue Jackets are able to do that. And, you know, you referenced a couple of moves the Blue Jackets made yesterday. They acquired goaltender Phoenix Copley. He was in the AHL last season with the LA Kings affiliate, the Ontario Reign, and then they signed a depth forward in Ryan Lomberg, who should be a really good guy in the Blue Jackets dressing room. So, yeah, a couple of smaller acquisitions, and I think still some work to be done by the Blue Jackets in the next couple of days.
All right, so from that statement, I want to kind of dig in on this idea of Z being a Blue Jacket moving forward. Is like, do you read that as, you know, the more long-term commitment that I think people are looking for? Or is this just like, yeah, the next couple years that I'm under contract, like I'm not going to be sniffing around, but who knows after that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about the contract, right? And that was the statement really from the beginning, that Zach wanted to be in Columbus, but he also wouldn't commit to the future, you know, beyond his current contract, because he wants to see if this team is able to compete. So I think that's been out there for a long time. The Blue Jackets are trying to get better right now to get over that hump. I mean, you know, if you look at things just the way they are, if you look at the facts, two seasons ago, the Blue Jackets took a big step and they just missed out on the Stanley Cup playoffs by essentially one game, one win. They had lots of growth within their own room. You think about players like Adam Fantilli, Dmitry Voronkov, Kent Johnson. All of those guys had good seasons 2 years ago. This past season, the Blue Jackets found themselves almost in an identical spot where they just missed out on the playoffs. Those guys didn't take as large of a step. You know, Adam Fantilli, he grew when it comes to playing a two-way game and really being a team's number one center, but he didn't score as many goals. Kent Johnson completely fell off the map last season. He wants to bounce back in a big way. And Dmitry Voronkov did not have a very good second half of his season last year, despite scoring 17 goals over the course of the entire season. So you didn't have that same growth. The Blue Jackets went out and they got Valeri Nichushkin, who's one of the more underrated forwards in the NHL, and they want to see continued growth from those guys. And if they see all that, this team believes it'll be back in the playoffs, which is exactly what Zach Werenski is looking for.
You know, we've seen Boone Jenner, Captain Boone, is going to the Capitals, which now opens up that captain spot, which is something that a lot of people have been flirting with the idea all towards the end of last season. It was a big topic on our show. Who do you think is in line to get that captain spot?
Well, I think the obvious answer there is Zach Werenski. I think you have a few candidates right now in the Blue Jackets dressing room. Zach Werenski, the longest tenured guy, you know, he's the Blue Jackets' best player. That would make sense if he wants to see. Charlie Coyle, obviously, is a big voice in the Blue Jackets dressing room. And, you know, he carried a lot of weight in his first season with the Blue Jackets last year. I think a case could be made for a player like Charlie Coyle. Another guy, you know, Matthew Olivier has become a big part of the Blue Jackets dressing room and is a heart and soul guy. I think some people would like to see that. You know, as it stands, you know, for me, I don't think you have to name a captain right now or right away. I don't know what the Blue Jackets are going to do. But with Rick Bowness being relatively new, I think he needs to get a feel for, you know, what the leadership is going to look like going forward in that room. You know, you said it, no more Boone Jenner. In all likelihood, you know, Eric Branson is a free agent too. It doesn't sound like he's going to be back with the Blue Jackets. So you're losing a lot of leadership and some big voices out of that dressing room. So I think you want to see what you have in there and let things develop over training camp. Like, if you remember when Boone Jenner was named captain, that didn't necessarily happen right away. It happened during Blue Jackets training camp. So we'll see if the time frame is the same, but I would say Zach Werenski is probably the overwhelming favorite to be the next captain.
If he doesn't get it, should fans read into that? Like, maybe potentially they didn't give it to him because he might be getting traded in, maybe not this season, but the next year?
No, I don't think they should look into that whatsoever. You know, I don't think Rick Bowness operates that way. And the head coach is going to make that decision who he wants to be the captain of the team for this season, right? Like, They're worried about what they have in that dressing room right now and who you feel is the best guy to lead that team right now, the best guy to speak for that team right now. And if Bonus feels that that's Zach Werenski, that's who he's going to pick. I would not read into that at all.
So you mentioned training camp, and this is kind of big picture spinning forward, but when you look at this hockey team, what are some of the biggest things on the ice that they need to really dig into when they get back out there?
Well, they changed their style just a little bit when Rick Bowness took over last season. They became a more aggressive, in-your-face team when it came to defending. And that's not necessarily, you know, just on the defensemen. It's also on the forwards. So he wants those forwards engaged in making things difficult when it comes to forechecking. And it always starts on offense, right? Your forecheck kind of starts the defense. If you can make it difficult on the other team when they're trying to get the puck out of their own zone, that is really, really good. That means that you're going to control the puck. And the best defense is kind of controlling the puck and playing offense in the NHL. Now, when it comes to the actual defenseman, Bonus talked about closing the gap. He wanted a smaller gap between the attacking forward and the Blue Jackets defenseman. So that is exactly what it sounds like. When an opposing forward is coming up the ice, the space between he and the defender is the gap. So Bonus wanted the Blue Jackets to be a little bit more aggressive when it came to closing that gap and allowing there to be space between the defender and the forward. So I think just continuing to hone in on that. But when it comes to playing offense for the Blue Jackets, I think he wants to see them play with more speed and more north and south. I think when the Blue Jackets got away from that last season, that's when you saw them lose games. But when they were playing direct north-south hockey in your face, kind of the same thing that we're talking about on defense, but on offense, that's when we saw them successful last year, and they kind of got away from that at the end of the season. You know, I think Rick Bonus, he kind of hinted at it the other day that he's taken some time to evaluate some more things this offseason, and he wants to address them during training camp. He wouldn't say what some of those things are yet, but I view them as just fine-tuning some of the changes that he made last season. And, you know, I think another year under Rick Bonus will only mean good things for the Blue Jackets when it comes to getting more comfortable and playing that way.
You know, I got to give you your flowers. One of the names that you mentioned as the potential for the Blue Jackets to draft was Oscar Hemming. And when I saw it, I smiled. And I said, I see why they pay you the big bucks. can you tell us a little bit about him? And what is the chances that we see Jaxon Smith or Caden Lindstrom with the Jackets this season?
All right, so I'll start with Oscar Hemming. Oscar just finished up his freshman season at Boston College. He's a younger guy, so he was one of the youngest players in college hockey last year, playing really as a 17-year-old. He kind of had a weird season last year. He was supposed to play in Canada, but his rights were not released by his team back in Finland. So, you know, a team back in Finland had his rights as a player, and they wouldn't release them to allow him to go play in Canada. So he said, all right, I'm going to go the college route. And he joined Boston College during the second semester. So he really only played half the season. So think about that. You're a young guy coming over from Finland, going straight into college, and you're playing with men in college. You know, the college hockey players overwhelmingly are older than the ones playing major junior in Canada. So you're a young guy playing against men, and you come over and play half a season, essentially, in college hockey. That's a hard thing to do, but he impressed enough to be drafted in the first round by the Blue Jackets. He's a big kid. I've seen him in person the last couple of days. You know, 6'4", 6'5", right around 200 pounds right now. Plenty of room to fill out. He's a good skater for his size. He has good skill for his size. And he profiles, you know, as a classic power forward in the NHL, a guy that can score, a guy that can be in your face, a guy that likes to play physical. He told us that he likes to throw his body around. So it's a good ad for the Blue Jackets, and hopefully we get to see him in a couple of years' time. As far as it goes for the other guys, you said Caden Lindstrom and Jaxon Smith. Both of those guys are going back to college this season, both in the Big Ten. Jaxon Smith at Penn State, Caden Lindstrom at Michigan State. If those guys have good seasons there and they feel comfortable making the leap to the NHL, you could see them potentially with the Blue Jackets towards the end of next season, depending on how their seasons go in college. Because, you know, those NCAA playoffs and the national championship game, they kind of trickle into the end of the Blue Jackets season. So depending on how it works with those guys and their seasons, they could be with the Blue Jackets at the end of next year.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Thank you, Dylan. We appreciate you, and we hope that you enjoy your 4th of July.
All right. You guys, too. Enjoy those barbecues. I know I will. And go Blue Jackets.
Go Blue Jackets. All right. Should the Big Ten and SEC expand before it's too late? We'll explain next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching a crash in Delaware County after a car hit a power line out here just outside of Sunbury. Portions are still closed, yes, in both directions. State Route 37, this is all near the 71 area. We also have debris on the roadway being reported, 71 southbound, and that 71 northbound ramp to 36. All lanes completely closed. Definitely take State Route 3 as your alternate route to avoid some traffic. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Tony.
Rothman and Ice.
Ben Stiller just landed, and this is what I told him last night.
Wait, whoa. And I told him last night.
Yeah.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvus.
All right, so Dylan, you can set this up. You threw this on the sheet. What is this article about this Big Ten expansion?
So basically, because of the Save College Sports Act that may or may not be implemented at some point, that will essentially prohibit conferences from expanding.
Okay.
So this article from Matt Hayes of Yahoo Sports, not Matty Ice, Matt Hayes of Yahoo Sports, he threw out the question of whether the Big Ten and the SEC should expand while they still have the opportunity, because that opportunity could be going away shortly.
Now, the interesting thing about this is the well is getting dry when you talk about expanding. There's not like a lot of teams out there that I will really want the Big Ten to go get. Obviously, there's nobody in the Pac-12. They kind of ended them.
Well,
the only team, the layup is Notre Dame. That's everybody, both conferences, both would probably take Notre Dame if they was willing to join.
They won't do it.
They won't. But if they did, I know we don't even care about where the region of it is anymore, but it just makes more sense for them to be in the Big Ten. And if they did that, that's the rest of the teams is pretty irrelevant to me, personally.
Would you look at a UNC? This is what people have suggested.
But basketball, Bill Belichick ain't got nothing coming.
I think you can make an argument,
you
want
to deal with him and Jordan Hudson?
That they might be a little bit of a sleeping giant. Like if you had the right coach in there, and that is a state where apparently folks want to live there badly, like population shift, all those different things. Like, I don't know. It becomes interesting. If you had Big Ten resources to give to a place like UNC, does that not give them a little bit more juice to become a team that is year in and year out more competitive?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Not at all? No shot?
No.
So Indiana, no shot.
They got lucky.
Okay.
Oh, man.
that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I think this is the world of collegiate athletics where it's like, if the right opportunity meets all of the resources, a highly resourced era, teams can become a little bit more attractive. I'm not saying that they should. I think this idea, first off, if the Big Ten is going to add, or the SEC, it feels like we're hitting the law of diminishing returns, where you can't create all of the matchups that you would want with the teams that you would add anyway. So it'd be harder to sell all of this inventory as like interesting, because you'd end up getting, you know, who do you add? UNC. Okay. So UNC and Northwestern, how do you feel about that as a football matchup?
I'm not watching that.
Okay. That's kind of my point on
bad
that.
Ball. So, bad ball.
I think you
could be interesting. Well, is RJ Day there?
Not yet.
I'll watch.
You'd want to trim from the bottom, but then you lose Indiana potentially winning a championship doing that. But that's the
not
only
if you
way
start
I think,
today.
That's the only way I think you could actually get it done, adding new members, is you'd have to trim so you can create all of these matchups that are interesting.
So you want to add, let's say you said you want to add UNC and Duke.
I don't necessarily want to add them, but I'm just saying, would you consider?
UNC, Duke, Virginia Tech, you said Notre Dame's probably not, but let's just throw them in the mix. Okay. So let's say you had four teams that wanted to join the Big Ten, but you had to cut four teams.
Great.
What's the four?
Well, Rutgers, we love you. You got to go.
Okay.
We don't love you.
Maryland.
Okay.
See you later.
We should have never done those deals in the first place. You got to go. How do we feel about a Northwestern?
Like, I think there's a more obvious third choice.
Aren't they
Purdue, see you later.
Purdue should be gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm having buyer's remorse on? Nebraska.
Ooh. Yeah. What have they done?
Sell out every game. I feel like, see, Nebraska is one of them schools that
they're good for the brand.
They're on the cusp
every year.
They're so close.
Are they close?
You know who they remind me of? They remind me of like an Indiana.
They're close.
They remind me of an Indiana because
they're 7-5 every year.
No, I feel like first of all, they start off well, and then they can't finish a season to save their life.
That's what Maryland does.
Like is Maryland they close? They start Maryland's off like 5-0 every year. We're like, and oh, then man. Blow it.
Is Maryland going to be a playoff team?
Maryland at least got a quarterback.
4-0 every year.
They got a quarterback. The Malik Washington.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. I don't know if they're going to keep him past this season.
Well, they kept him this year, which was important.
Yeah.
Locks might be gone, too.
Nebraska... I'm telling you, if they find a Kirk Cignetti.
If.
You don't believe in Matt Rhule?
No. I was never drinking the Rhule.
Couldn't you say the same thing? And this is, you brought up Purdue, but like, couldn't you say the same thing? Like, Jeff Brohm had Purdue playing pretty good ball. Jeff
Brohm
had, yes, he had Purdue
he got
representing the Big Ten West.
What's our, Lincoln. Kehoes.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess my thing is like, it's a hard exercise to say you want to cut. And part of this is the history and the legacy of the Big Ten. But to me, I don't think you're at a point where you can continue to add in either the SEC or the Big Ten without saying that you'd want to trim a little bit of the fat.
So you never gave me the fourth team.
I don't know.
That's the decision you got to make.
That's why I don't make these decisions.
But that's not what they would actually do.
They wouldn't.
They would just continue to expand. I mean,
how do you create a football schedule with a 20-team conference?
You got
a 22-team conference.
You got to go back to divisions.
That's ass.
And you got
to mean like legions and legends?
No, not
legions. Legions and legends and legions.
Leaders and legends.
No, those names were ass. We don't need that again. But like a true East and West again, I would be, or maybe not, because then you would just get back into the imbalance of the East being so much better than the rest.
Isn't that two conferences basically in
yes,
one?
Yes, that's essentially what it would
that's
be.
That's the issue, because then.
But it's so about the bread.
How do you develop the schedule, though, is what I'm getting at. Like, how can you ensure that we actually get good games
that's
off
for
of
the I algorithm think to figure
I'm
out?
I'm at a place where don't touch it. Don't touch it. Just let it be what it is.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. Mm. Because you unless you're cutting teams out, I wouldn't touch it.
Well, the two money-making sports are football and men's basketball, right? Are there any, Joshua brought up UNC, any team that's like kind of decent at both that you'd want to add? Maybe from like the Big 12, like Iowa State or BYU. Would you consider those schools?
Feels geographically palatable. And I know that doesn't matter because we've got California and Washington and Oregon in here.
Yeah. But nothing anymore.
But there's a natural rivalry in there already. So that could make sense if you're just like, can we add somebody who is mid but won't drag
but
us
I don't,
down?
I don't think they football team because Matt Campbell's gone.
Yeah, we'll have to find out about that.
Who knows?
I mean, from a rival reason, don't touch nothing. Just let it, because y'all going to mess it up. Don't even touch it. Just let it be what it is. I hope that a Purdue and what's the other teams you say? Purdue, Rutgers, and them can find their Kirk Cignetti, and hopefully they can turn things around. That's where I'm at with that. I'm done with the whole expansion talk. We don't need to touch it. All right. Who are the biggest threats to Ohio State in the conference and nationally? Me and Josh will discuss it when we come back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
As you're making your way towards the airport, a heads up here, we are seeing a disabled vehicle, 670 in that eastbound direction. This is just east of 5th Avenue, and right before you're hitting Airport Drive, that left shoulder is currently blocked out there. Just go slow when you're passing. Lastly, in South Linden, we are seeing a structure fire right now at the IHS Metal Recycling Center. Once again, in South Linden, all lanes are closed just northbound of Joyce Avenue. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Drunk.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The United States men's national team beat Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0 in the World Cup round of 32 last night. Team USA will play Belgium in the next round. That game is scheduled for Monday night at 8 o'clock. The Zach Werenski trade drama has been put on pause. Both he and Blue Jackets general manager Don Waddell released statements reaffirming Werenski's commitment to the CBJ yesterday. Earlier this week, the team was informed Werenski would be unlikely to sign long-term after his current deal was up. On the diamond, the Guardians avoided the sweep when they beat the Rangers at home 9-4. The Guards will start a series versus the White Sox tonight with first pitch at 6:40. And the Reds lost 4-2 in Milwaukee last night. They'll look to avoid a sweep themselves this afternoon at 2:10. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kosick at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy today for cash. 614-472-000.
One of these men was prom king. The other is Tyvus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Did you know you can listen to us at home? No radio? No problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. It's that easy. Boom. Put us right on the big screen. See me and Josh go back and forth. Josh, I was thinking of something. How did we lose to Virginia Tech? It's one of the most touchy questions that we had that year because they stunk.
I'm pointing fingers. So when we lost games in 2013,
we lost our last two games. We lost to Michigan State and Clemson.
Our fault.
Oh,
which by the way,
no. It wasn't.
I had a sack for a safety against Clemson.
I had a big hit on Taj Boyd. The Clemson loss was not our fault.
It was.
No, it was not.
You want to know why it was?
You want to know why it was not?
Go ahead. I'll let you start and then I'll finish.
Because they knew Braxton Miller was hurt. They kept him in the game and they should have took him out and put Kenny in.
Okay.
That's why.
So
Braxton went right in there and threw a pick. And I'm like, yeah, what you think? And then Corey or Philly muffed the punt.
Corey. The issue to me is you're not winning games when you're giving up 40 points.
Josh, we knew they was. We stunk on defense.
I know. That's what
we
I'm getting at.
We all knew that.
It was our fault. The losses in 14 and 15.
When you say our, you say the defense.
Yes. The losses in 14 and 15, I'm blaming the offense. I'm pointing fingers. We had nothing to do with that.
14.
In the Virginia Tech loss.
And the Michigan State loss of 15.
Yes. We couldn't move the ball worth a nickel. In either one of those games, I'm blaming them.
Wait a minute. What was the final score? Because I think it ain't like we give up no points.
No, we definitely gave up points, but there was the pick six in there at the end that made the score look worse than it actually was. And we were out there for so long.
Josh, we gave up 35 points.
We gave up 28 in reality.
Yeah, 28 points in reality because it was a pick six at the end.
Yes.
28, I mean, they scored 21.
It was a rough 21. they probably should have been able to put up 40 points in that game.
That bare front. Now, what about the Michigan State game?
All offense. That
was our fault.
No, it wasn't.
That was our fault.
Brother, in a game
you don't hear
where
it.
They score 14 points up until a last-second field goal, I'm never,
Josh,
never taking the blame for that.
We knew that the offense was struggling. It was raining that game. You know why?
Oh, you know what? It was raining. It's raining.
What should we
do? Maybe we should hand the pill to the best running back in the country. It's raining.
They knew that we was going to get a pill to him, so that's why they was pulling it and letting JT run.
Brother, I'm out on that. You know why we lost? A designed run to hand the pill. It doesn't have to be a read. You don't have to read it.
You know why we lost? I'm going to tell you the real reason we lost. Because that man behind the glass was there. That's exactly why we lost.
I did have a really bad record as a fan. When you guys were there, I was at like every single Michigan State game that Ohio State lost to in that era. I was at the Big Ten championship game.
Mm.
I was at that game that you guys are referring to. It took me going like 2 years ago when they played them here. I was like, all right, there's no shot that this crappy Michigan State team will beat Ohio State. I'm like 1-2 or 1-3 attending Ohio State versus
Michigan State games. Makes me mad that Michigan State has fallen off this hard. Because it makes it look like we was bad.
So it's the interesting thing about that, because people have this debate about like what era of the Big Ten is more difficult. And obviously with the last three champs coming out of the Big Ten, like you can certainly say like the top of the conferences, but they're like, oh, you know, Urban had the Big Ten when Michigan was down and when Penn State was down. And that's true. But Wisconsin was up, and Michigan State was a college football playoff team.
Wisconsin was up?
They were 10 wins annually.
No.
I think it might have been the 2017 Big Ten championship game. You know Wisconsin was ranked before the game? They were winning in the playoffs. They were the number 3 team in the country.
What year are you talking about?
I think it was 2017, Wisconsin.
When we beat them in the Big Ten championship?
Yes, but that was a playoff team. You know, one of the Michigan games, it might have been the revenge tour one or whatever it was. That Michigan team was number 4. They were a playoff team. Like people rewrite that era. Wisconsin, they were up. Penn State, the second half of that era, they were back up. Michigan State was a playoff team, and then Michigan had some years.
Okay, let's call a spade a spade. Wisconsin was never.
They were the number three team in the country.
So
they
were never. From 2014.
Josh, we seen Wisconsin on the schedule. You think that we actually believe that they had a shot of beating us.
From 2014 to 2017, they had 11 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, 13 wins, and they went to the Big Ten championship three of those four years.
They fell off. They fell off.
He's part of the problem of this rewriting of history. Oh, it's so bad.
They fell
13
off.
Wins for Wisconsin. They can't sniff a win right now.
Don't do Fick like that.
I'm just saying.
Don't do Coach Fick like that.
It's the teams. The reason we like this era is because the teams with the biggest trophy cases and the most history are the teams that are up right now. There were just different teams that were up when we were playing.
I'm still mad that they fell off this hard because it makes us look bad.
That doesn't make me look bad.
We lost to them twice.
Yeah, this is a different era.
Whatever, Josh. All right, this year, Big Ten, who you think is the biggest in the conference, to biggest threat to making Ohio State lose the conference?
You probably got to put Oregon.
Yeah, I think that's probably
at the
layup.
Top spot.
That's probably the layup.
And Dante Moore is back, and we're very excited about some of the young players they had last year. That'll be a year older.
Where
now.
Are you on Indiana?
I am a Kurt Cignetti believer.
I know
I think
you
he is the best coach in the game right now.
No, go bigger. Say it. Say it again.
He's the best coach in the history of college football. Right. Let's just call a spade. That what he did at Indiana, one championship, counts for like nine at Alabama.
Oh,
counts for like
goodness.
Nine here at Ohio State. What he did there, that is the greatest coaching job that we have ever witnessed.
Josh, he lost all of his core players from JMU.
Which is fine. That's okay.
He went out
and got Big Hoove from TCU. He got Marsh from Michigan State.
He's a good player.
He is a good player.
When he wants to play.
Yeah, they got a kid from London, Ohio, who's a really good linebacker. They got Carter Smith on the offensive line, a local kid from Olentangy Liberty.
I got to see it again.
I think it's okay to have your doubts.
When I see them as like a 10-win team.
Okay, so I will say this about Sig is we watched him take a team to a playoff that nobody expected, and then we watched him win a title.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to say that's just a flash in the pan. I know your JMU core, which is fine.
That's the part that's getting me.
The most important position that everybody would tell you is the most important.
Quarterback?
Got two guys out of the portal that he didn't know, and they both played really well.
Okay.
I think Big Hoove is going to come and do the same thing.
Whoa, okay. You say that, but you also just said yesterday, what was Indiana's number one thing on offense that they
like? They like to run the ball.
Okay.
Right. I didn't say that these quarterbacks were like the greatest invention we've ever seen. They played really well.
One the Heisman. So.
Which, that's a whole different thing for me. But they played very well. They run that system masterfully. He knows how to get guys to be productive in that system.
Okay, nationally, who you got?
I mean, if we're supposed to buy the hype, you would have to say Texas.
I'm big on Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame's going to be really good.
I think if they figure out the running back situation, because they lost obviously both of their running backs, I think they're gonna be really good.
Where are we at with Georgia right now? It feels like
we're at a crossroads with Georgia.
Nobody talks about them, but all they do is win the SEC.
It just speaks on how bad the SEC has gotten.
Wow.
What? Wow. They are. They're terrible.
Oh, terrible.
Give me the threat.
I mean,
LSU?
I don't like Lane, so I think they're going to be good, but I don't want to admit that.
Alabama?
That could be a little bit weird. You got Texas. I think Oklahoma is going to be a solid team. LSU, as you mentioned.
John Mateer got to get his money back because he was on the right trajectory.
I think John Mateer is...
I can't believe...
He is too reckless for me to like as a quarterback.
He reminds me of Baker.
He does. Yep.
Reckless.
Trying to figure out why South Carolina stinks.
Why should they not stink?
Well, Lenore Sellers is supposed to be this guy.
Okay, they lied to us.
And then they got the Dylan Stewart guy on defense.
Okay.
They still got Nick Harbor, the receiver.
Harbor is an alien.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If I was checking him, I'd turn around and run the other way. I'm telling you right now, that'd be ridiculous.
That those guys played against Texas A&M?
Yeah.
How do we feel about A&M this year? Marcell Reed?
I like Marcell Reed.
I don't think I like him.
I think he's a turn. He was a turnover waiting to happen.
Yes.
And when it happened, it
that's
was
why
bad.
I don't like him.
But he bounced back though.
Yeah.
What about Ole Miss?
What about him?
Yeah. What about him?
I mean, they were in the semifinal last year, and they have a lot of their core pieces back, including their backfield.
All right, we late. I gotta go. We'll continue this conversation when we get back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Right now in South Linden, we are closely watching a structure fire at the IHS Metal Recycling Center. All lanes are closed just north of Joyce Avenue out there. Also noticing some slowdowns really forming on the north side of Columbus, really on 23 in both directions, but 270 in both directions, even 315 southbound, still not too bad on this early Thursday morning. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
fan. The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s. And then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits. So keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Tyvus is drinking a protein shake for breakfast. T-Bone is eating a protein donut, minus the protein. And it's more than one donut. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
As I look over some of these schedules in the Big Ten, I see your point about some teams needing to go. Because I'm at a point, and you shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this, especially with the new day and age that college is, where rosters is constantly flipping. But I look at certain, like Indiana's roster, or schedule. I'm looking at their schedule right now. There's three. It's a three-game season.
What are the three?
They got three games this season where the rest of them is layups. Ohio State, the Wolverines, USC. That's the three games.
Who else is on there in the conference?
Northwestern, Rutgers. Nebraska, Minnesota, Washington, Purdue. Washington could be interesting.
I think Washington and Minnesota.
If they love their quarterback who tried to leave.
Well, and I know that people love to rag on PJ Fleck.
And Fleck tones.
I think he is a really good ball coach, though. They usually play very disciplined football. He is a situational type of coach. Value special teams, like tries to win in the margins because he knows he's never going to have the most talented roster. They become a tricky team sometimes.
Yes, but I will say that I feel like they lost some players.
Sure they did.
Everybody That's all right.
lost players.
No, but like key players.
Everybody lost a key player or two.
We didn't.
Yeah, true.
They'll still row the boat.
Row the boat. Let's go, let's go.
I really hate that they got a song.
This is why our grid is overstressed. This is why we have water issues in society is for that damn song.
Although I will say Minnesota last year when I did my tailgate show from there, I had a blast, man.
It's great.
They fans
they got,
was
they, pretty they got good. A nice little setup. Did you go in their facility?
No.
They got a nice setup up there.
Really?
Land of Lakes.
Is it better than the Woody?
The Woody.
If you tell me Minnesota's facilities is better than the Woody's, we got a problem.
Maybe the, I don't know, 10th, 11th best in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It is. But it's been like that for a long time, yes.
I tell you right now, Oregon and Nebraska is better, easily.
Oregon, which I haven't been to, but I've seen for sure. Nebraska with their updates for sure. Illinois has a bowling alley in their facility for what that's worth.
You do a lot of bowling, Josh.
We got a basketball
Penn
court
State
at ours.
Has done some updates. I still don't think theirs is totally up to snuff. Team Up North has a really nice one, unfortunately. Trying to go down the list a little bit here. Northwestern, ridiculous.
Well, they got a whole new man. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
ain't they stadium ready this year?
Yes.
Yeah. What they had they're putting the turf in the last couple of years. It was beautiful.
Yep.
It was beautiful in that water.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the facilities here.
That's why they collected the money. All right, what's this issue that you and Dylan got with Freeze Pops?
All right, so the Freeze Pop scenario has gotten a little bit out of control in my household. We were up in Toledo over the weekend with my father-in-law, and he gives James, my son, who's two, the Freeze Pop, and then Stella, who's Maddie's sister, who's nine, has one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so James has the problem with the Freeze Pop pushing the popsicle up through the plastic.
Milani got that same thing.
Okay, so then Mike is sitting there, my father-in-law, with scissors cutting it.
Yeah.
Like while they're eating it?
So they'll have a piece, they'll come over, and then
They're cutting it multiple times during that's correct. That's too much.
And that's what I said. And I was like, if James can't figure out how to do this, then he's just not old enough to have a popsicle yet.
Yeah.
Or not the whole thing. He can just have the part that he can get. And Stella at nine, like, girl, we got to get some things figured out. Like, you can do a popsicle. So then my mother comes over a couple days ago, and she's got this contraption that you put at the bottom of the plastic, and it just, you like push it up the whole time. And so you don't have to cut it, but it's like, it's basically an aid to assist the pushing of the popsicle, which once again, if you need that, like you're not ready to have the popsicle yet. And I get that. It's a great invention for people who may have some dexterity issues. Like I think those things are great in society. You're not ready for the popsicle yet. And then the other thing that they do is they can't just hold it because then their hands get cold.
Yeah, you gotta put a paper towel around it.
They have popsicle holders up at my father-in-law's house specifically for them.
Yes.
And I think this is contributing to the softening of America.
No,
can't have a damn popsicle without having to have all these different adjustments going on. Eat the popsicle.
I think the napkin is perfect.
I'm out.
Because kids tend to spill things.
So I'm out. Like
the napkin catches that spillage. So I actually
no, it doesn't.
I applaud it. It
literally
it,
no, yes, just it keeps does. Their hands from getting cold. They spill regardless.
I think
you agree with him on this?
Yeah. I think if you can't eat it, you can't eat it. I think when it comes to some of these issues, maybe us as parents are the ones to blame. My daughter Gianna, she just started wanting to play Minecraft. Every 10 seconds, Dad, how you do this? Dad, how you do that?
Man.
Dad, can you look this up? I'm like, first of all, I've never played Minecraft in my life, so stop asking me how to play Minecraft.
Yeah.
But their access to information makes them not want to try to figure out anything on their own. It's immediately, look this up.
We did
watch a YouTube video. No, we figured out stuff on our own. That's trial and error.
It's important. I feel like because we have so much access to information, that young people aren't actually figuring things out through trial and error right now. They're finding the shortest way to the answer. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, but I think that is something you fall back on once you have a certain level of mastery. But you don't get to skip all of the steps of learning how to do certain things just to get to the answer. You never learn anything that way.
I hear what you're saying. Okay. I hear what you two are saying. I don't necessarily fully agree with what y'all are saying. I get it. Like, why just not? I get the trial and error thing. Like, that to me is when it's physical, when it's like more physical.
So you don't think there's a mental trial and error that needs to happen?
Just go look up the answer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but if they go out in the real
world. This is the problem with today.
They go out in the real world as
an
adult.
We're losing recipes.
Yes. Oh my God. This is what's wrong with today. The young ladies today. They're not learning from mom how to cook. We're losing recipes.
They go out on their own when they're adults. As soon as their cell phone dies, they're cooked because they don't know how to do anything without the internet.
That partially is true.
But that's
on the parent. That's on the parent. Y'all just giving them tablets and just letting them do whatever.
If they're in a crucial situation, they ain't figure out anything on their own unless they got a Wi-Fi signal.
My kids do a lot of stuff on their own. They figure it out on their own a lot. is I blame the parents.
I mean, yeah.
I'll give you a hell of an example. So we in school, we all learned how to spell. Mm-hmm. We had spelling tests. We had to physically write things.
Yeah, my mother would had a belt in her hand.
Right.
Ask me, the word is doll.
Yep. Yep.
And if I mess it up.
Johnny had four apples.
If he gives two away, how many apples do we have? If you don't say two, you in trouble.
So we all get that. And so we have spell check on our phones and on the computer, and that should be for if we just like mistype something. You're typing fast and you know how to spell the words.
Yes.
The kids today can't spell because they've already skipped to the spell check. That's a problem for me. So what I'm saying is I think the efficiencies are important.
What do you mean?
They don't teach anything.
What do you mean they skip
the way that
they just go
to
spell check? What, is everything typed?
No. That's basically what I'm getting at is like there are so many different aids right now to help people that you kind of lose the mastery of the skill first. I think you have to master the skill and then you get to take the shortcut. But we're skipping to the shortcut a little bit too much right now. I'm not saying they don't do spelling in school. Like they obviously do, but everybody's like, well, what do I need to learn how to spell for? I've got spell check. They don't care.
We got ChatGPT.
They don't care. That's a problem for me.
Yeah, we got ChatGPT. Well, yeah, I hear what y'all are saying. I do. To me, that's on the parents.
And so if you need me to cut your popsicle plastic
after
every bite. Right. But I'm watching.
What are you talking about?
I'm watching the 9-year-old do this as well.
That's a problem.
And I'm trying to prevent my 2-year-old from becoming 9 and being like, Daddy, can you cut? No, I won't. No.
I figured at some point he would
just. You allow it at 2 and it continues at 9.
Lay know how to push her popsicle, though.
Good.
Milani does not.
Not good. She doesn't. She's not ready.
But I pushed it up for her. I didn't cut it. I pushed it up for her.
Not ready.
And handed it to her. But you know what? I only did it once, so she must have figured it out.
Good.
She must have figured it out. There Good. We go. See, look, it's on the parents. All right. We got to go to break. When we come back in 2 minutes, we have a game show that Dylan has put together for us. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Right now in South Linden, we are closely watching a structure fire at the IHS Metal Recycling Center. All lanes are closed just north of Joyce Avenue out there. Also noticing some slowdowns really forming on the north side of Columbus, really on 23 in both directions, but 270 in both directions, even 315 southbound, still not too bad on this early Thursday morning. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Gay Benefits. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. All of the hair on their heads is slowly migrating to the lower part of their faces. And tracking. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Hold on, I'm hijacking the show real quick. All right, so Bearded Buckabilly in the chat had a great comment here. And Tyvus and I were talking about this. So you've got a bunch of phone numbers memorized.
Yeah.
I do too. Dylan, I'm sure that you have some phone numbers that are committed to memory.
Yes, the essential ones, family members.
How many phone numbers do you think your daughter knows off the top of her head?
She knows her mother's and that's it.
Okay.
See,
this
my daughter
is
knows
crazy
her
to me.
That's it.
So if the kids got stranded
when did you learn all these numbers, though?
When I was a youngster, when I went to school, I don't know how it was for everybody else, but you had your mother and father's full name. You should know.
Yes.
Your address. Yep. You should know. Yep. You should know their phone numbers. Like I think there are a lot of kids that go into school and they'd be like, oh, like, what's your mom and dad's name? Mom and dad. Like, they don't know their address. They don't. Because all this stuff is
it's
in there.
What age are you talking about?
I'm talking about like a 6-year-old.
I doubt it.
What do you mean?
I doubt it. I don't think that's true.
I think that there are a lot of people who have given their 6-year-old one of these and just press mom, press dad. My mom worked in elementary school. You'd be surprised at the technology these kids come into school with.
They got cell phones?
Yes.
Six.
Yes. I bet you they don't know a damn phone number, not one. So you get lost. And you got a payphone, which they'd be like, what is a quarter? Okay. What is a quarter?
They don't have
because all the
payphones.
All the currency is digital now. They wouldn't even know how to dial.
Yeah, well. This, I seen the thing the other day on Instagram where the guy was asking people how to read a watch and they couldn't do it.
See?
These grown people. I thought it was, they got to be trolling.
So troubling to
me. They got to be trolling.
All right, we can get back on track.
Game, we got a game show. Dylan has a game show for us. Explain it, because I don't know exactly what's going on.
All right, so this is kind of going to be like a verbal charade. So I sent Tyvus first a list of five of your guys' former teammates. You're going to describe this person to Joshua without saying their name. He needs to tell you who they are.
Okay.
All right.
How much time he get?
We're going to get the timer up here. Got a 30-second timer to get all five.
Man, all right. It's going to be his.
You let me know when you're ready, Joshua.
Ready.
All right.
Wide receiver, fastest that we've probably played with. Young guy. He was very young.
Paris Campbell.
Bang. All right. This guy played on the O-line.
Billy Price.
No.
Jacoby Boren.
No.
Taylor Decker.
Yes. This guy was one of my roommates. Also played
Armani Reeves.
No, he played the O-line.
Oh, Pat Elflein.
Got it. All right. This guy was a captain on our team, tight end.
Jeff Hierman.
All right. This last guy looks like we called him Paul Walker.
Oh,
play DN.
Who do we call Paul Walker?
He looked like Paul Walker to us for some odd reason. DN, Cincinnati guy.
Oh, that's Sam Hubbard.
There we go.
4 out of 5 ain't bad. All right, Joshua, I sent you a list of five to describe to Tyvus.
Oh, man.
We'll see if he can get all five. Tyvus, you ready?
Yep, let's all do right, it.
Here we go.
All right, Middletown High School. Wide receiver.
Jalen Marshall.
Okay. Pinhead? Young wide receiver when we were there. Making big money now. Commanders.
Terry McLaurin.
Okay. Buzz Lightyear, offensive line.
Billy?
Yes. DeSoto.
DeSoto?
Wide receiver. Fast guy.
Dontre Wilson.
Yes. And then Slant Boy.
Michael Thomas. Hey, man, I'll be honest with y'all. Y'all missed some of the greatest rivalry in practice. Michael Thomas versus Eli Apple is the funniest beef ever to me. I mean, them two used to go at it all the time. And credit to Eli, because he never backed down from Mike at all. But it was hilarious.
And I say this to Tyvus, and he doesn't agree. Mike, to me, speaks in riddles. Like, he says stuff like Yoda almost. But he was a generational smack talker.
He was.
All he did was run his mouth.
He did.
And catch the ball.
So earlier, we were talking about best players in the Urban Meyer era here at Ohio State, and his name was not mentioned. Do you think it should be? I feel like people sleep on him.
I feel like if he played in a different era, we'd appreciate him more.
Yeah, Mike Thomas became like, he was like our go-to wide receiver. And I feel like anybody that thinks when Mike became in the league when he was at Ohio State, if you thought you could see that, I think you're lying to yourself. I thought Mike had an incredibly strong work ethic. I mean, that dude worked his butt off, but I'd be lying if I told you I thought he would go to the NFL and break the record for most receptions and have that impact that he had. It's actually a shame that he had those like foot injuries and stuff like that, because he was a sure-handed catcher.
He was. He got big hands. He got long arms too, so the range and the radius was there.
Yeah.
Bigger guy.
I never thought he was fast. I just never thought he was fast.
He's not.
So I was like, he gonna struggle with the separation, but he ran them slants and he was physical after the Yeah, shout out to Mike Thomas, man.
When was the last time you saw Mike?
I seen Mike at the Team Up North game this past year. We was both on the sideline because I was doing the tailgate show there, and he was on the sideline up there as well, and we had a nice little conversation. I didn't know he had a daughter.
I saw him in December.
At Urban's thing?
Mm-hmm.
How's he doing?
He's good. Yeah.
He was speaking in riddles?
A little bit. That's how he does. He's got a unique cadence.
Mike
to
has become like a big like spokesman for Ohio State. Like, he'd be on Twitter all the time, like hyping them up and stuff. So it's actually good to see.
I love that for him.
Yeah.
So we didn't get a chance to bring up the fan poll yesterday. Want to make sure we do it today.
Yes, what we got today?
The fan poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub is bringing back Zach Werenski the right move for the Columbus Blue Jackets. What are your guys' thoughts?
I feel like, yeah. I mean, it is, though. It is because how he can spin it is he can always say, I never said I wanted to be traded.
Yeah, okay.
But then he'd be lying.
So let me say this.
He can say, I never publicly said that I wanted to be traded.
I'm going to say this. So the part of his statement that pissed me off the most was when he was like, oh, the media blew up all these stories or whatever the case is. I don't like when athletes do that if they haven't like publicly made a statement on something. Like, you have an opportunity to say something. And I get where you wanted, like, but if it's starting to get out of control, or like you see a rumor that's out there, you can literally get on Twitter or you could, whatever it is, put out a statement through the CBJ thing and be like, nope, not true.
To me, this is what happened. And this isn't sourced or anything. This is just my opinion. He wanted to get traded like Luka in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He wanted no one to know anything about anything. And then when it got out, now he wants to backpedal and not be the bad guy. Right. He wants his cake and eat it too.
You don't want to look like the bad guy, and that's why you want to do it like that, which is fine. But at some point, you got to be a bad guy if you want to do this.
He never said that he wanted to be traded.
He never said he didn't. That's the other part of it, though.
That's true, too.
Like, you have the opportunity to come out and be like, no, that's not true. But he never did. And so I feel like there's some culpability there for him. To answer your question, right decision, if they win some games and he re-signs when his contract's up, then yes. If not, then no. I'm playing results.
Let me pivot real quick, because before we started the show, you and I were talking about the Jaylen, because Jaylen Brown got traded from the Celtics to the Philadelphia 76ers for Paul George and some first-round picks, if you missed that. But you were saying that you didn't like it because he was trash-talking Embiid.
Yes.
And you think that it might be a rift there.
I feel like Embiid is a petty dude, and I feel like Jaylen is not the type of guy to walk in and immediately apologize if Embiid feels like that's an issue.
I'm going to tell you right now, they can make it work.
I think they can.
I'm going to tell you why. Because in San Francisco, the 49ers traded for Trent Williams. Trent Williams, on tape, slapped the heck out of Sherm in the face. Those two was teammates and they were fine.
I don't think I could ever get there.
Which I love because it's the funniest. That's what he gets. All that stuff he talked, that's what he gets.
Smacked in the face is crazy.
What's ironic about the Jaylen Brown thing, the same stream that he said this season was my favorite, essentially because Jason Tatum wasn't playing, he goes ahead and calls Embiid a flopper, and now they're teammates. So he talks crap about one teammate, and people are like, oh, they can't coexist. He got to go. But and he talks to the other guy he talked crap about on the same stream broadcast.
All I'm going to tell you is, on paper, it sounds good.
So you know what? They hit up LeBron after they signed Jaylen Brown. I heard.
Give a stat real quick for why I think the Celtics were cool giving him away, basically.
Let's hear it.
So the Celtics were 90 and 36 in games where Jaylen Brown did not play. That's also 36-6 in the last three seasons where he didn't play. So 85% of their games they won when he was out. Damn. I think he was a little bit radioactive in that building, and they were ready for him to be gone.
For Paul George and some peanuts?
They were ready for him to be gone.
Right, they better hope they get playoff P and not pandemic P. All right, we'll hit the buzzer with Ryan Baker when we come back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
AEP Ohio is still on the scene after a car crashed into a power line up in Delaware County. It's all happening really just outside of Sunbury. Still noticing both directions of State Route 37 closed near 71. We also have that 71 southbound and that 71 northbound ramp blocked off too to 36. Definitely take State Route 3 as your alternate route to avoid the area and definitely some traffic. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Bishop and Friends.
You felt completely safe dropping your kids off. Like, my parents didn't even hesitate to drop me off at Holiday Village Mall in Great Falls, Montana for 6 hours.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tybus says that in all his years being in football locker rooms, he never once looked at another man's junk. He cannot say the same thing about working at this radio station. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Joining the program, the famous, the infamous, the best producer, one of the best producers here at the station, who I believe is sitting in the two chair today, Ryan Baker, the touchdown maker. Hi, buddy.
You don't see me being all nervous about it either. Over here, knocking my knees, and I'm so tired. I'm losing sleep. Oh, Dylan did everything for me. Oh.
I could not have done this without Dylan. Major shout out to Dylan for all his hard work and preparation. But I helped. Listen, God made him, but I helped.
Oh, you know, Ty was pitching ideas like he helped. Was producing the show. I was impressed.
I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to just show up.
You guys both know this. It's one of the things that I love about both of you, because every time I've ever, like, even back to when before I worked here full time as an employee, every time I did a show with either of you, I would reach out and say, hey, this isn't just my barbecue. It's yours, too. Is there anything you want to talk about? And both of you guys would always send all kinds of ideas, articles, all of that. So it's one of the things I always love about, because some people are like, well, we'll just talk about whatever you want. It's cool.
See, I realize early on, like, especially like in this time of the year, it's not a lot going on.
And you want to control what's going on that sheet.
Yeah, so it's like I know how hard it is for people to just come up with stuff. So, like, I would think of stuff that, like, oh, this sounds like this would be interesting and stuff like that.
Well, and sometimes not all of our brains are working in the exact same. Like, so, you know, you know right now in sports, you've got to talk World Cup and you've got to talk Zach Werenski and the Blue Jackets.
You got to talk World Cup.
Well,
did you watch last night?
Is it pig's ass pork? No, I didn't.
Y'all had, like, no. You were supposed to watch it. You were supposed to watch it so Reeser will watch Top Gun Maverick.
I never agreed to any of this. This is just stuff Bo was throwing out there. I never agreed to any of it.
I actually, last night, for the first time on purpose, put on the World Cup.
Why?
Why would you do that?
I watched the last 40 minutes of Team USA, and that was all I needed.
I'm
I
the last the man card. Standing over here.
See, I didn't see
it. No, you're not. There's two of us here.
Me and Baker are brothers in a different life, because we're very in lockstep on many things.
All right. Did you hear this, what happened to me this past weekend? I have watched at least a second of the World Cup because my buddy was in town and I met them out and we were at an establishment and somebody was there that listens to the show and they were like, hey, whatever you do, don't look at that TV. Well, what do you do when someone says that? You
right turn and look.
And I looked up and it was, I don't know, Austria playing someone. And it was like, oh, shocking. 0-0. And I went back to.
I'm going to be honest with you. I watched a good 10 minutes of it. It's boring. I'm sorry. It's boring.
I have a non-soccer question, though, that came from this. When the game is over and everyone's pumped for the win, you know what song they put on in the stadium? And I guess this is like the unofficial theme of this team. Nope. Country Roads.
I'm out.
What are we doing?
It's not Freebird, but it's okay. It's all right.
What, like, you're hyped up from a win and you're putting on that slow ass song?
What? Which better, now, that or Camp? Which one is better? Which one you prefer?
Right.
We definitely did not have to go there.
I mean, only Camp is picking Camp.
Now, Dylan, we're going to get a phone call this morning.
Dylan, you're talking about Country Roads, and I know it's different. It's not Team USA, and it was West Virginia. But wasn't that cool when West Virginia was making their run in the College World Series, and they would all go out there and sing Country Roads to their fan?
It was cool for them. And you know what that made me decide? Like, Country Roads, top five songs that gets white people going. You put that on in the bar.
I don't know.
Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline is probably number one.
It's got to be number one.
I don't know. Mr. Brightside is number two.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't Stop Believing.
How does this country road song go? Give me a little bit of melody. How
country roads take me home.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
We're going to try to find it in the system, not a cappella.
I know that one. I know that one.
It's not in the system. I look.
That is hilarious.
Bake, what you got planned for the fourth? Are you working tomorrow?
No, which is really weird. Yeah. I don't like that. I would rather be working so I could take a PTO day some other time when I was working and I could double dip again. Yeah. I like doing that a lot.
What you doing for the fourth? You cooking? Ain't you like a grill master? You was teaching me how to do a steak.
I don't really have any plans this weekend. Mm. I guess maybe I'll start getting, because next Saturday I leave for vacation, so maybe I'll start getting stuff ready for that.
Excuse me? But you taking PTO?
Yeah.
A week?
Yes, a whole week.
We're going
down to Florida. Mm. We're just going to sit in water and drink drinks and eat good food.
There you go.
That sounds boring.
So Tyvis says that Baker is a grill master, but Joshua, have you ever had any of Baker's baked goods?
I have not.
I don't think JP ever got any.
You got to be around for Christmas.
We'll make sure JP gets it.
What's your specialty?
We're hanging out a lot up in your guys' neck of the woods now, so we can go ahead and drop some off. Make sure James, my buddy, gets it.
That's right. James loves a damn snack, too.
That's funny. All right, what's coming up on Bishop and Friends?
Well, we talked a little bit about it already. We're going to have to talk about the World Cup and Team USA moving on to the round of 16. Also, we're going to have some Zach Werenski talk. And
where are you at?
I don't know how this is going to work out, guys.
Where are you at?
Those statements yesterday, it sure seems like... Well, I don't want to be the bad guy. Well, I don't want to be the bad guy either.
Agree.
Don Waddell's going to have a press conference today at noon.
And, you going?
Well, I don't get off of work until noon. Dang, so maybe I can jump on the Zoom part of it real quick. But I hope the first question that's asked is, does this mean Zach Werenski is signing long term one year from now? That should be the first question in all of this. Because that statement sure makes it seem like he wants to be here long term now.
No, it sounded a little open ended to me. The terminology was vague enough where it's like they just want us to shut up.
I want to be in Columbus and I want to win here is what it says.
Right. That's vague though.
It is
so
vague.
So that means he's signing next
week. That's why the first question needs to be.
I agree.
Is he signing long term next July? Because I don't know. I think this is just a Band-Aid on all of this. And I'm not sure. I think we just punted this down to next year. When the no trade is a 10-team no trade, now, they can do what they want.
Now the full court press goes to Kirill Marchenko, so that's what will be next.
There's the Kirill Marchenko thing, I think, is a lot of his agent putting pressure on the Blue Jackets to up their offer.
Okay,
I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of seems like maybe this agent's trying to add a couple more zeros to this contract because he can sign an extension now.
Yeah.
Zach can't until next year. He can do it now.
Well, I guess we'll see. All right, Bake. 3 big hours on Bishop and Friends coming up next. We got to hit the buzzer.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
JP is a man of the people. He's got a hookup for you. Go ahead, JP.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull this up real quick. So I was on Instagram yesterday. I saw this deal that said that you can get 50 cents off per gallon of gas if you're an Amazon Prime member. So you've got to sign up. I think it's Earnify. You can link it to, there's a link online. Just type in, Amazon Prime Earnify gas. And then you get 50 cents off per gallon starting today up until the 5th. I went this morning at BP, where you got to go. I went this morning, got my gasoline, still put like $90 in the tank, but it was definitely worth it.
50 cents off. Look at that. JP, man of the people, it's been a pleasure working with you for the past 2 days.
I've enjoyed it.
Everybody enjoy their 4th of July. Bone returns on Monday. We'll see y'all then. Until then, this is T-Bone and Tyvis, 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Lane closures are expected on that 670 westbound ramp to 62 after a disabled vehicle that we're noticing out on the roads for you. Also, not too far away in South Linden, we are still watching a fire at the IHS Metal Recycling Center. All lanes are closed in that northbound direction over by Joyce Avenue. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a great